This is PFW in Progress.
Hello, fellas. Everybody's here. Freddy, Tom, good to see you.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I do you a favor and take Freddy in when you're having a bad time, and then you try to push me out. I gotta kick asses sometimes to make it run right. We had a little argument, Freddy and I, so I had to straighten him out. He was banging cocktail waitresses two at a time.
Paul Perillo.
Come over here, kid. Learn something. You start out with a little bit of oil. Then you fry some garlic. Then you throw in some tomatoes and tomato paste. You fry it. You make sure it doesn't stick. You got it to a boil. You shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. And a little bit of wine.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Cut the crap. I got more important things for you to do. How's Paulie?
Oh, Paulie won't see him no more.
And Andy. And Andy?
I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says. Like dumb. I'm smart. And I want to spend.
Andy Hart.
I know it was you. You broke my heart. You broke my heart.
Some guy named Tom.
Tom's no longer constipated. Gonna be our lawyer in Vegas. That's no reflection on Tom, but that's the way I want it.
Mike, why am I out?
You're not a wartime consigliere, Tom. Things may get rough with the move we're trying.
Maybe I could help.
You're out, Tom.
PFW in Progress.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
Let's try that again. All right, PFW in Progress. Tom Casale here with Andy Hart and Paul Perillo will be here with you from 12 to 2 today. We've kicked Fred Kirsch out after that horrendous show yesterday. He even brought Paul down with him. It was so bad. So Paul has decided to join us today, so he's not tied in with Fred anymore. Glad to have you, Paul, for the first hour.
Okay. Fred does as well as he can, but if he brings it on himself, though, as you guys point
right.
out.
He yells at us.
He wanted to criticize every one of the shows that Andy and I do together and Tom and I do together, so you got to take the heat when it comes back.
Yep, and I'll do my best Fred Kirsch impression. What's going on in the locker room?
Lawrence Maroney talked, which is a rarity. They had to kind of coerce him into it.
You were involved in that conversation.
Sort of. I was on the outskirts
on
of a large crowd. Paul Perillo was accurate. First 17 questions were about returning to Minnesota. The only one I found mildly interesting is somebody said, that's a loud place to play, you know, from being there. And he goes, ooh, it wasn't too loud when I was there.
Yeah, they don't.
Kind of took a little shot at him.
Well, I don't think the Gophers are pulling in the amount of fans that the Vikings are pulling in.
Right. So he made a little joke about that. Talked about his kick return, admitted his legs got heavy. He got tired when he cut across the field. He's taken a lot of ribbing from his teammates. In fact, I had talked to Heath Evans earlier, and he said if only our rookie, you know, was in better condition, maybe we would have scored on that one.
Now, well, Andy, you played small college football, so and I played high school football, and I know that I'm sure you did too. Used to run 100-yard dashes or things like that. Why do you think he got tired? Should he have?
I don't necessarily fault him for it. He ran a long way. I mean, he ran over 100 yards. You're talking about 100 and...
And as you pointed out, kickoffs are a little different than taking a handoff and just running.
Right, and he was starting and stopping, and he kind of had to not high step, but his feet along the sideline there and then cut back across the field. So it's not the same as just a pure sprint. And I don't think they do that many long conditioning runs. So their conditioning is more for the short bursts to be able to do the play, get back, run another 10 yards, do a play. He doesn't do a lot of that. So I think it's understandable. I think a lot of guys get tired. I think you rarely see a guy on like a kick return like that or any run that's, 100 yards when they have to cut back across the field. You rarely see that guy full sprint into the end zone. If he hasn't broken free enough to just walk into the end zone when they cut all the way back across the field, they usually get caught by somebody.
Right, and I think your point about the kickoff is a good one because in college, Minnesota plays those cupcake schedules, and he'd go 80 yards in a blink of an eye.
Right.
But he wasn't making those cuts
right.
and trying to make people miss. So I think if he had just taken the ball and whoosh, go up the middle, I don't think that
right.
would be a problem.
If he had been able to just keep going down the left sideline, I think he probably would have been fine, would have scored. But as soon as you have to stop and cut back, that's right when that refrigerator jumps on your back, and all of a sudden you realize, well, I've run a long way on this play.
And the fact that he had to cut all the way back across... if it was just making a cut inside and then continuing upfield, I think he would have made it. But he wasn't able to do that because of the too much congestion over by the sideline. I cut him some slack. If you have a situation where he's constantly breaking them, But getting caught from behind, and that's a different story.
Right.
You know, maybe you wonder why, but I don't think it was necessarily a lack of conditioning as to why he got caught. The other thing is, they're all chasing you. He's having to beat, what, 3, 4, 5 different guys
right.
that conceivably, you know, could have the angle on him, and right. sooner or later someone's going to catch you.
Right.
And Jabari Greer caught him.
Tie this in full circle the way you set me up for the thing. I'm not one to be throwing stones, because I think my longest run ever in high school was like 63 yards. And I got to tell you, the last 10 or 15 of that, I felt like a refrigerator was on my back. So I'm certainly not criticizing anyone that died after running 120.
All right. Well, something I just scrolled on the bottom line. I don't know if Paul saw it, but I'd have to be the first to inform him of this. Apparently, Tony Romo been named starting quarterback for the Carolina Panthers game. So what do you think, Bledsoe?
That was in the Fort Worth, Fort Worth Star Telegram this morning.
Does Bledsoe leave? Does he stay? What happens?
I'd say he stays. He won't be happy, but he'll stay.
Plus, I mean,
I don't think he's the kind to walk away from.
Romo could stink up the joint. I mean, he could have a terrible game. You know Parcells. He could go right back to him. So.
Or he could do what he did Monday night, and everybody would claim that he played well. I mean, I don't know.
There are two or three guys that are not.
Did you hear any of the talk
this
morning? From some of the local stations this morning, we're talking about how great Romo played when he came in. He got sacked twice. He threw 3 interceptions.
I think
he threw for 200 meaningless yards when they were getting killed.
I think there's 2 reasons why Romo should play. One, that line can't block anybody, and at least he can move around a little bit. And 2, the Cowboys, and I can promise you this, aren't going to the Super Bowl this year. So they need to decide, can this guy be our quarterback, or do we have to draft one of the 3 or 4 big-name quarterbacks coming out this year? Because I think at the beginning of the year they thought, well, Bledsoe has a chance to lead us to the Super Bowl. They're no Super Bowl team. On offense, defense, special teams, they stink all over the place. They got a good punter and good-looking cheerleaders. Other than that, they're no good. So that's probably the best reason for the change at this point, is because they have to decide, can this guy play or not?
Plus, I got to tell you, I think Drew would love to watch Romo come in, stink. Parcells has to put Bledsoe back in, whether it's the last game of the year. He would like nothing more than to throw like 200-300-yard games, then give him all the big foam finger and go off to Montana at the end of the year.
Yeah, I don't think he'll leave, but the one thing that I would disagree with Tom is, I would wait until I'm officially, not officially, but at 3-3, all hope is not lost. And I think that this is the white flag that hope is lost. I think I would wait till, you know, maybe, you know, two more weeks go by. And then I think you still have plenty of time to get Romo ready for the future.
I just don't think that with that line, it's going to, with Bledsoe behind that line, it doesn't.
I got to tell you, I saw the other kid running for his life the other night.
Right, but that's that's right. But I'm saying he can run. That line can't block anybody. I mean, I don't know what Parcells is, an old offensive line coach. I don't know what he's doing over there. They can't block anybody.
The one thing I found interesting in that report, and I heard him talking about it on the radio, is apparently that Fort Worth Telegram report had the alignment a little opposite than I think everybody
Jerry
would assume.
Jerry Jones
wants Bledsoe, and Parcells wants Romo.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Which kind of flies in the face of, you know, Parcells would take Bledsoe for one last run. We're both out at the end of the year. Who cares? Not the long term. Well, it's actually the owner who wants Bledsoe and Parcells who's taking the young guy. So,
well, that's not good for Paul, because Jerry Jones hadn't been right in a long time.
And I'm not necessarily saying the decision is wrong. Because I think what you said, Tom, there's a lot of truth to that. They're not going anywhere. I think they're a flawed team, and I've been saying this for a while. It's not just I think Bledsoe's playing terribly. I don't want anybody misunderstanding it. This is what we got in the rant yesterday with Fred. We talked about this a while. But I don't want to make it sound like I'm saying Bledsoe's playing well, because he's not. I just think there are a lot of problems with that team that people don't talk about. And, Tom, one of your biggest ones as being a Cowboys fan that you have kind of shed the light to me on is Roy Williams.
Yeah.
Who's perceived to be this great player who makes more mistakes every game than Bledsoe does.
And that's why I said they're not a Super Bowl contender, because the defense stinks. They can rank them anywhere they want, but
I mean, how
every
do you
time
come
they
out
play
in that
a good
game,
team, they get run over.
You come out in a Monday night game at home against your chief rival with a chance to really take control of the division with a win. Philadelphia lost. Washington lost. You have a chance to make the Giants lose, and you can be all alone in first place. You come out and allow the other team to go 80 yards down the field in 3 minutes, boom, 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 touchdown. You can't have a great defense and have that happen.
No.
You can't.
No.
It's not like it was just one fluke play. They methodically went down the field and then hit him with a big play for a touchdown.
Right.
And not to make this CFW in progress,
right.
But
well, Bledsoe is used to.
No,
play
I know.
Here,
but another tie, and we've mentioned Jeff Fisher. You know, probably going to be out in Tennessee. Already rumblings
that
Dallas
that.
And Washington. Hot on the Fisher trail.
He's big. He's, you know.
How about that? You're 1-5. You're going to get fired, and you got two of the richest owners in the league bidding over
if
you.
If I was Fisher, I'd say, thanks, no thanks. I'll take another job with you two idiots running the show. But the one thing, I wasn't here yesterday, but the Monday night coverage is just absolutely hideous. You guys all know who my favorite athlete of all time is. But I don't want to see him in the middle of a game talking about being on Dancing with the Stars. There's a football game going on here. They got two sideline reporters interviewing 700 different people during the game. They got phone interviews. Hey, how about you just call the football game? Because that's what we care about. I just think ESPN found another thing to take and ruin, and unfortunately, that's been their MO over the years.
What? And unfortunately, they had the highest ratings in the history of cable TV. So they're not going to learn their lesson. Because they're getting huge
They
ratings.
Can do whatever they want because it's the only show in town, and you have to live with it. We can critique them, though.
I hate, the worst is the in-booth interview with these random people that I don't want to see.
During the middle of a game, I don't get it. Hey, now, if the score is 48-3 and you're looking to spice it up, I'll live with it. But
or even a gimmick at halftime if you want to have the celebrity do the halftime highlights or something, but not in the middle of a game. I think they forget that the game is the focal point.
That's why people tune in.
Not the coverage.
Right.
The game is the focal point. The actual players on the field, that's what we want to see.
Right. Well, we better get back to the Patriots before Fred sends us an email, you know, about
I'm
us.
Sure he's not even listening.
But, the Patriots, you know, they disposed of Buffalo pretty easily. Tougher test this week.
This is the greatest team in the history of football, according to Bill.
Well, this week they are. I mean, can you imagine the Colts next week?
They shouldn't have lost the games they lost, according to Bill. They were the better team,
well,
clearly.
It was funny because me and Andy brought up this point in the locker room. He said that he thought the Vikings should have beaten the Bears. Now, let's see a month from now when he said
right, what the story's going to be that week. A whole different ballgame.
That's what I said to you. I said, I'll guarantee he changes his tune when they play the Bears in a month.
But, tougher test this week. Much tougher defense, Minnesota, so far. I mean, they haven't played a lot of AFC teams, and the AFC division they play is the East, so you really can't judge them by that. I know a lot of Patriots fans might point to the loss in Buffalo, but that could be one of those things where you got a new coach, you got new schemes, and you just weren't on the right page yet. Because I'll tell you right now, they play Buffalo this week, they'd kill them.
Right.
They would
I agree.
Kill them.
I thought the most interesting thing Bill brought up, and I'm assuming he's right on this, is that 20% of run plays against the Vikings go for a loss.
No,
and that's amazing.
I said that, Andy.
Shut up, Bill. I'm speaking here. You have your time at 11 or whatever it is in the press conference. It's just my time. You know, we've seen the Patriots have tackles for a loss this season. We've seen Maroney get bottled up at times. We've seen Dillon get bottled up. It'll be interesting to see how much success they can have against that front. And, you know, Copen, I think, has his work cut out for him with Pat Williams, a big behemoth kind of guy. And then you have Kevin Williams. So this is a good test for that old line.
And I think that's one of the reasons why they're getting those tackles for losses, because Pat Williams takes up two guys, and then either Kevin Williams or one of the linebackers gets free in that hole. And, you know, Pat Williams was a very good signing for them.
I also think this is interesting because we give the Patriots' offensive line somewhat of an out, and we say they don't match up well with speed-based fronts, the linebackers. Well, this isn't quite a speed-based front when you're talking about Pat
Williams. Bigger guys.
You got to win this, or do we just say, you're not a very good offensive line? You got to be able to beat somebody.
You're right, because you mentioned on the show last night that these guys aren't like your quick linebackers. Like these guys are bigger. You know,
Henderson's a pretty big dude.
Napoleon Harris, those are big guys. So you're right. If they can't block the big guys or the quick
then you're
guys,
just not good. Then you're middle of the road.
Right.
Let me throw something out there. Not saying, you know, not specifically with anything real to base it on, but in the past, Andy, you'll remember this, when they used to play Buffalo, when they had Pat Williams and Ted Washington, and later Sam Adams, they used to occasionally go no huddle
a lot.
They used to go no huddle a lot and try to get those guys off the field. And I'm wondering, with some of those big guys up front, and we heard Bill talk a lot about that aspect of the defense today, with Kevin Williams and Pat Williams, I wonder if maybe he tries, you know, to up the tempo a little bit to get those guys tired and see if he can get them off the field.
Could be.
You know, short passing, you know, not necessarily a big play, no huddle offense. You would think that you're not probably going to have a whole lot of running game. We've seen Bill do this in the past. when they've gone against teams that he thinks that are really good defensively against the run, Pittsburgh being a good example, he basically disdains the run.
Right.
He doesn't try to bang his head into the wall.
Right.
But
in fact, I think he said that.
You know, and rather than, and I don't want to make it sound like, well, they're just going to chuck it all over the place and chuck, you know, and throw it down. You can do it in a very controlled manner, and I think Brady is so good at it that it allows you to get away with it.
You know who else is good? Rishay Caldwell with those four-yard gains.
Oh, Rishay Caldwell should have a huge game this week. He could have 24 catches for 25 yards.
Big week.
Speaking of 24 carries for 25 yards, now I'm
Edgerrin James.
Michael Hart.
Well, I was going with Corey Dillon. I'm not good at math. Am I on pace here? He's 328 through six games. I'm on pace to win this thing, the 1,000-yard thing, right?
Oh, yeah, he's under.
Okay.
Yeah, he's under.
So he needs a...
I'm not good at math.
He needs a big game coming up soon to get him over that hump, right?
Yeah, I don't know that he's ever going to get a huge game. Because
he's not going to get the 25 carries.
Because they're going to, if they're running well, they're going to split it.
He'd have to break a long run, and that's
right.
Probably it.
I don't see him having like a 165-yard day or anything like that.
Right. But do you think
you're pretty safe there?
What do you think? You know, seriously, you know, on the offensively, with you think they might get a chance to see? Because I just don't see them running the ball that effectively this week.
I think you're right. I think you could see no
spread
huddle,
it out.
A lot of
and I don't want to hear that this is a good, young, talented offensive line. I don't want to hear that anymore. Because if you can't beat speed-based fronts and you can't move big guys, then what do? You're just average.
Okay.
But I don't want to hear that anymore.
Well, they'll have a speed-based front.
Well, stop
writing those stories then.
I'm just saying, if they can't beat this front, then you're just not that good. You're middle of the road. And, well, there's one little caveat there is if Neil, is he okay or is he not okay? Or
didn't see him in the locker room, Jay, did you?
Because if Billy Yates starts... okay, I
did see him real quickly. He came in and then went back out.
We should probably mention him, did not see Richard Seymour today.
No. And that's another one that I think is interesting in terms of the matchup because that line, offensive line, that left side, I'm not feeling great about either Mike Wright or Jarvis Green over there.
And I'm not going by one play here that we saw last week, the Hutchinson block on the 95-yard. I'm going by what Seattle's running game looked like early, even with Sean Alexander in there. Now what the Minnesota running game looked like, it looks like Steve Hutchinson was a guard who was worth that kind of money.
Right,
When you put him next to a McKinney. You know, it wasn't like you took Hutchinson and put him next to someone who can't play. You put those two together, that's just dominating. And without Seymour, Mike Wright, Jarvis Green, nice players, but not Richard Seymour.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge test for a guy coming off the bench. You know, I know Green is relatively... experienced, but he's actually sort of shed a little weight in recent years and become more of a pass rush specialist and a truer end than his early days here when he was a nose tackle. So I don't think that's a great matchup for him.
You're talking about Jarvis?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been kind of funny because he's gone back and forth. That's how he came here.
He was a nose tackle.
Well, no, he was an end.
But he played nose tackle
that
whole
time.
Then
they made him a nose tackle and they bulked him up.
And now he's
light again. Back down to the way he was.
So this isn't a good matchup for him. It's not a good matchup for Mike Wright in just that you're Mike Wright. No offense. I don't care how much we like him as a good little player.
Right.
That's not a good matchup for him. I was actually wondering if you even consider moving Warren to the other side.
I actually thought about that, but then I remember, didn't Bill talk about the sides with them?
Yeah,
specifically how good he is on that side or something.
The right hand, left hand, inside hand, power.
I don't know.
The stance.
He did say that. But
I was thinking about that today. Maybe it would make sense to move him over there, but.
But then it's also the other thing Bill falls into.
The domino effect.
Domino effect. How much are you changing just for one matchup or one area? So, but it'll be interesting to watch because we've seen some teams have some success over there. Who was it? It was...
Denver.
Denver had early success running to the left side. Yeah, and then they kind of didn't do it as much as
they
thought
they
should have.
But they ran pretty well in that game in general. But I thought they actually had bigger gains at Seymour that night.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm talking about early. They did.
Yeah.
And then this past week, they started with a McGahee run to the left side. So it'll be interesting to see how much success they can have over there.
I would think that this is going to fall. We're going to obviously talk about it all week with Minnesota. But this is another one of those games. I say it all the time. When you have a thing that you do really well, as an opponent and you face the Patriots, I think it's in your best interest to not necessarily go into the game depending on that one thing, but rather come out doing something different. Because I've seen the Patriots so many times, no matter how well someone does something, They'll find a way to neutralize it. Even mm-hmm. without Seymour, I don't expect Chester Taylor to run for 160 yards like he did last week. I don't think that he is that dynamic of a back. I know he's leading the league and all this stuff, but I don't put him in that category that, well, we have LaDainian Tomlinson. We have to get him the ball 25 times. I don't right. think Chester Taylor is that kind of a back. I would think that Minnesota would be better off coming out saying, let's put the ball in Brad Johnson's hands. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. The Patriots like to make you check your way downfield and go put 10, 12, 14 play drives together and hope you'll make a mistake. Brad Johnson's reputation is he won't make that mistake.
So are we saying this is going to play into Fred Kirsch's little preview, that it could be a points scored in this
ballgame?
I think
it's going to be a high-scoring game, too.
Oh, I'm not necessarily saying that. I'm just saying that
Minnesota... both teams are throwing the ball around a lot.
But it doesn't mean you're scoring a lot.
I just think it's one of those things where the Vikings and the Patriots have held all their opponents under 20 points, and I think it's kind of one of those things you look at it and say, this is going to be a low-scoring game, and then you're sitting there, why is it 31-27?
Right.
That happens sometimes. But to put Paul's point about Chester Taylor, remember I had to change the thing in the preview because I had put that he doesn't have a great yards per carry average, but that
whoops
that well it leaped up after last right. week, but before he had the big 95-yard run, he's only averaging 3.8 yards per carry. So it's not like he's rattling off 95-yard run after, you know, those huge runs. He's more they're getting more like 3-4 yards a carry, right. not 15 to 30 yards a carry. And against the Patriots, it's hard to move the ball down the field getting 2-3 yards at a time. So I think Paul's right. They do have to throw the ball around and stuff. And speaking of McKinney, one of the more interesting stats in sports history, high school through his University of Miami career, never gave up a sack, ever. And he did go up against Dwight Freeney, who he stoned. So that's the kind of dominating players you got to go up against. And without Richard Seymour, some guys are going to have to really step up. But it's the Patriots, so I'm sure they will.
You mentioned that Freeney thing.
Lakeven Smith will have an all-pro day.
You mentioned that Freeney situation in college, and I remember a lot of people, that was kind of like the downfall of Freeney.
Right.
A lot of people were saying,
he
can't do it. Look what he went up against, a pro-caliber tackle, and look what happened. It was similar to Kiwanuka this year at the combine,
right.
who went against the brick and didn't fare that well. And everybody said, oh, yeah,
now he can't be
he
stopped.
Can't play. And now all of a sudden, you know, he's having a pretty solid rookie year for the Giants.
But that's one of those things where if you're right on the tackle, if he's as good as you think the tackle is, there's no shame necessarily.
Right. And that's
you're going to face a lot of Matt Leitz week in and week out in the NFL, not always McKinney's.
Andy's got to take the gratuitous cheap shot every time.
What?
Well, you're going to face Matt Leitz, too.
Just saying. Aaron Schobel's played him twice and wishes he played him 16 times.
Played him 16 times.
You know how much
times.
Money he'd make?
They'd put him into the Hall of Fame before he even retired.
They'd get the bus ready, as Bill says.
Well, let's
just worried about getting that extra point team on, extra point block.
Well, let's hit some emails. This one was one from yesterday. They wanted to know what kind of college career J.P. Losman, this was Alejandro, what kind of college
yeah.
career did J.P. Losman have at Tulane? I don't see how anyone with at least two neurons can think he's worth a first-round pick. Well, there was a lot of people who thought he was a late first-round pick, so you can't really blame the Bills there. He had a good college career at Tulane, but it was one of those Kentucky, Texas Tech kind of passing offenses where you saw Sean King put up a lot of yards, Patrick Ramsey put up a lot of yards, and
plus, well, I hated him. I hated him all along. I thought he was overrated. I hated he had a little bit of that Jake Plummer, you know, snake. He's a leader. He's a gamer. He makes plays, rallies the troops. I hated him. I thought he was overrated in college, and I think I'm being proven right. He stinks.
Andy Hart, right again.
Right again.
I saw this before we came down. The Patriots actually made a transaction move today. They signed center Brian Barthelmes to the practice squad. So now they have one open spot on the active roster?
They're full. They're full on both, I believe.
It's actually pronounced
because Billy Yates got bumped up.
Okay, Billy Yates, you're right. Okay.
They're
all set on the roster. With the move today,
so maybe Neal is hurt. Is that a move? Do we read into moves as they fill in guys? Hochstein's still hurt. Neal's hurt. Extra bodies. Can we read into it?
I think there's probably some validity to that. This kid, and it's funny. I'm not surprised that this kid is back. How did you pronounce his name?
Barthelmes.
I
think so.
I read a lot of stuff about him before rookie minicamp. I read the little bios they put together trying to get an idea of who these anonymous undrafted free agents are coming in. You know, I know Tom knows them all, Andy. You and I have played catch up. Tom just
knows them because he just listens to Tom.
Right, right. But he was one of those.
You're right. You're right. I don't know what to tell you.
He was one of those guys that had a lot of like community oriented kind of community service thing. It was like he just kind of screamed patriot. You know, like had really really long hair in college. He did one of those things where he grew it and he cut it and donated it.
Locks
those,
for love.
Yeah.
Or locks for.
You know that kind of stuff. And you like his off field endeavors. I think he went to Virginia, right?
Yeah.
His off field endeavors in college were like, you know, screaming, Patriots, take a shot at me. I'm not surprised that he's back. But Andy, I think, makes a good point. It's probably an indication that there's some depth concerns at the interior line positions.
Plus, he's got the requisite facial hair that you apparently have to have to be on this offensive line crew.
So he'll fit right in. Just for the record, I'm the one who does the web updates during March and April through the draft, and that's probably why Fred associates it with me. So if one of you guys would like to pick up the web updates during draft time, I'm than happy to give up that.
No, you're doing just fine. Doing a fine job.
We have Escher, or this is Raymond from Turlock. I always get confused.
Where did Escher come?
Oh, that's the email address.
Oh, good.
So I always get confused when and he's asking about has Seymour been practicing and about going up against Hutchinson, and we kind of touched on that already.
Well, yeah, they haven't really practiced yet.
So, we'll find out today when the
4 o'clock.
As Bill says, whenever you ask him how anybody is that they'll be, you know.
Yeah, and then he cut off the follow-up that he didn't even answer.
Okay.
Took it to new levels today. He ignored the question.
I was a little disappointed in John Tomasi for not following up his follow-up and saying, that's not what I just asked, when you so rudely cut me off.
Well, I'm going to cut you off here. I don't know what Andy is doing in Ask PFW, Paul. He's got something going on with Scotland. There's people writing in to us. We must have gotten at least 15.
It's
at least
amazing.
15 emails.
We're big across the pond.
Where to watch the games in Scotland. Now they're emailing in here. The game is going to be shown live on Channel 5 here in the UK. Yep. The problem, though, is kickoff is at 1:30 Tuesday morning UK time.
Right.
So
I posted that answer on the website so that the guy Bob something could find out. Let's move past that.
So Bob, check the website. We have Shane Cahill from Waco, Texas. After Tom Brady,
the other guy's name Texas. Is escaping me. Ah, jeez.
After Tom Brady, Richard Seymour is a close second for players whose performances are usually defended by PFW. That's funny because I don't remember defending Richard Seymour.
No, actually, Tom's been leading the Seymour's overrated and sucks chant.
I didn't say he sucks, but
but he did say overrated.
A little bit. Many times when fans ask why they don't see more tackles, sacks, and quarterback pressures from Richard, you claim that in the Pat system, making lots of big plays is not what is asked of him. What system exactly are you referring to? The 3-4? Is Seymour not athletic enough to play end in a 4-3? If he is, then shouldn't the Pats try to use that a little more often? And if he isn't, then why are they paying him all that money? Well, that's what I'm asking. I guess I just don't understand the roles the Patriots defensive linemen are supposed to fill. And to throw one of your common responses back at you, I don't know what you guys are looking at. Seymour is a great player, but he's not playing like years past, and I'm not the only one who sees it. Even great players have off years, and this may be one. Well, I'm with you, Shane. So
I agree. We should cut Brady and Seymour.
No,
that would open up
us.
A lot of cap space.
We should cut him.
Hold on. Instead of getting sarcastic, let's try to attack this a little bit.
Wait a minute.
How's the defense playing right now?
It's playing great.
So why do we want to change the style of defense that we're playing to go 4-3? Why should it matter if Richard Seymour is athletic enough to play end or tackle in a 4-3? They allow 5 points a game in the 3-4 that they're playing.
And I got to tell you,
obviously everybody's playing reasonably well on defense. Am I wrong on that?
No. But as Andy pointed out himself, I believe it's in the transcript if Gary wants to read it back, weren't the Broncos running right at Richard Seymour, you said that?
No,
side.
They ran
had some early success and then went the other way.
And then I broke it down, actually, off of Stats Inc., and they ran predominantly to the right side in that game. They just had a couple of good gains early to the left.
And you also have to ask yourself, who are they running at? Are they running at Rosie Colvin, the undersized outside linebacker? Or are they running at Richard Seymour?
Maybe they think Warren and Seymour are fairly comparable, whereas Vrabel and Colvin aren't.
If you had to pick two guys, you know, take them as a tandem. You're running at the edge of the Patriots' defense. Would you run at Seymour and Colvin or Warren and Vrabel?
The other, first one.
Because of Colvin, right?
Right.
Yeah, I think that's what teams look at.
And I don't think...
despite what Mr. Casey Joyner, football scientist, says, who rated Rosie Colvin as one of the best run-stopping linebackers in football, he also had Terrence McGee as a better corner than Nate Clements. Yeah, just
how'd that work out Sunday?
So I'm starting to question some of his metrics. You know, Colvin is undersized. I think he's a guy you can run at. We saw him the other day. It's like he was in position to make a play, except McGahee turned the corner and ran upfield.
Yeah, and I'm not dismissing Tom's notion here that Richard's been quiet. There's no question.
No question.
And Andy's exaggerating the point.
No,
I
he
think
is.
He's overrated.
That's why.
I'm not saying.
But that's why I said instead of let's getting sarcastic here and defensive like we often do.
And I'll defer to you guys because you've been covering the Patriots longer than I have. I've only been here a year, so. If you say this is the way he plays, and maybe I'm just not used to seeing him out there. See, I'm kind of used to my first game here was the Pittsburgh game where he just was all over
the
place.
That was a great game.
But those are few and far between for him, even when he's playing his best.
Now, don't you think Ty Warren has been great this year?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how many like really big plays have you seen him make?
Right. He's only made a handful.
It's just, and that's what I'm saying with the email of Shane about the system. It's not 3-4-4-3. They don't generally ask their defensive linemen to go out and get 12 sacks a year.
Right.
Right.
To go out and get me, you know, 10 tackles for losses in the run. They're asked to do a specific job, and that's occupy blockers. And if you watch Seymour, I think I can't remember which game it was now, but there was one game that we were watching him specifically. I think it was here. It might have been Denver. He was getting killed. I mean, they had like three guys blocking him on some plays. I don't think that, and I think Warren is a terrific player. I just don't think that he gets the same attention that Seymour does. Wilfork, by the way, is starting to dominate. He's starting to become that kind of game, like playmaking nose tackle. It's a very hard position to be a playmaker at, but he's starting to, like Jamal Williams, where he's starting to affect games.
And not surprisingly, the defensive front's playing pretty well because if you have two or three guys up there, it gets back to Bill's thing. You can't double team all of them. You have to leave some of them single block.
Now, I do think Tom is right. I think that Richard has been a little quiet for his standards this year. I just think he's a solid player.
I think he's always
way,
pretty quiet.
Way down the list of your concerns.
The point I was making when this whole thing that where I started saying it was, I was referring specifically to the Denver game where you kind of needed a game-changing play at some point, like Tatum Bell getting stopped in the backfield on 3rd and 5 or something like that. And I'm saying, if you're Richard Seymour and you're the defensive leader, you're making all this money, when you're getting beat like that, at some point, don't you have to step up and make a play where you don't say, oh, it's not about the numbers. That was my point I was making.
I just think
it's the hardest position to do that from. I think the outside linebackers have been exceptionally quiet. And I think that's
a far easier position to
make a game-changing play. And my other part of that answer, I answer this with Seymour the same way I answer the Benjamin Watson question. He's a great athletic tight end. I don't want to move him to receiver. I think that takes away the matchup problems. If I put Richard Seymour in a 4-3 end, he might be good enough to do it. I'm not sure he's athletic enough. He's very athletic as a 3-4 end, which is essentially a tackle. I think we get better matchups in that front with him down there because he is very athletic for his size, but I think off the edge, you'd lose a little bit of that.
Yeah, and Colvin needs to step up his game, or all these interviews that he does with all the media types are just going to start being a waste of time in my mind, because it's going to be a guy who's a great talker who mows his own lawn but has one sack.
Right. I think Vrabel has been a disappointment too.
I'm just saying.
I know he had a sack last week, but I think they both.
And you know what? That play right there showed how bad J.P. Losman really is. Not from the blind side, coming right at him. He's looking at Vrabel. Not only does he get sacked, he fumbles the ball. A terrible play by a quarterback.
I'll tell you, watching that replay, too, Chris Valerio, the right guard for Buffalo, wow. You'd be hard-pressed to get beat that badly again.
Not surprisingly, didn't they announce a bunch of changes?
Yeah, Tootin Reyes has been put to the bench, and they got a set up.
They moved Peters to the left side.
He didn't play last game anyway. He didn't play against the Patriots anyway.
And they made like three changes.
Pennington,
on the
O-line. Terrence Pennington, their 7th-round pick, I believe, out of Mississippi, is starting now.
I think you're starting to see already that all of these teams making all these changes in the AFC East, and the changes already aren't working, and teams are scrambling. I'm telling you, the Patriots' dominance in this division is not going away anytime soon.
I agree with you. They're not very good franchises. I mean, you can't just keep regrouping every year. You got to have a system in place, and that's why the Jets may actually be one of the teams that does push the Patriots, because it seems like Mangini is installing that system and sticking with it. So we'll have to see how they continue to play.
Yeah, I was going to say, we have to see. We were probably saying the same thing about the Dolphins last year, late in the year. It looks like they're buying into Saban. They're going in the right direction. Now this year they take the big step back.
No, I would have said that, but if you said that last year, I think you would have been accurate.
Yeah, I think we're all surprised that the Dolphins are 1-6.
Right. I mean, I don't think any of us thought the Dolphins were going to be division winners like some people did. Not many, but some. And
I'm just saying, let's not go the other way now and say they stink and they're not going in the right direction.
I don't think they're going in the right direction.
And plus, I'm
off the Saban bandwagon.
Well,
I think this is a common issue with the new coach. First year, he gets a good bump. Second year, they take a step back. Third year, he gets it in his program and going in the right direction.
Well, I think the big thing for that, if that's going to happen, is he's going to have to get...
You're not going to fall for the banana?
Some of the veterans are going to have to be weeded out because they've quit on him.
Yeah.
And I don't mean quit necessarily in terms of how hard they're playing. I mean they've tuned him out. They don't like him. They don't respect him.
I don't think they buy into what he's saying anymore.
I talked to someone. I forget who told me this now, but someone told me Zach Thomas absolutely hates him. And if you have guys that are that important to your team that have no respect for you, that's a problem. So he's going to need, and I agree with you, Andy.
Because he didn't win.
I agree with you, Andy.
Right.
Because he didn't go from 5-11 to the Super Bowl in year two, because you could have seen the same thing here.
You're exactly right.
Oh, I totally agree with you, Andy. But what would have happened? And you know what I'm saying? I mean, you can't just discount that. If they're not winning and they don't respect the guy, that's not going to go away. That's why I'm saying he needs to weed some of the veterans out, even if it's, you know, cutting loose a guy like Zach Thomas maybe a year or two earlier than you know.
I also think Jason Taylor.
Or Jason Taylor.
On the downside.
And by the way, I'm glad you brought that up because I knew there was something I wanted to talk to you guys about, and that was it. Just to defend my argument that ESPN can make a player like Roy Williams a Pro Bowler, Jason Taylor got a sack against Ryan College, making his first start against the Packers, and everybody was Darren College from Boise State, right?
Yeah.
He was
combine phenom.
Making his first start. Now, Jason Taylor beats him like a drum, gets a sack. Everybody on the NFL Network is saying, well, you can see right there, Jason Taylor hasn't lost. It's still the same. One play, they're all raving on it. Jason Taylor still has the motor, can still get around the edge. He beat a rookie making his first start. Besides that, I haven't heard his name called all season long.
I'll take your point right there a step further. And I don't want to be like Andy and just take the gratuitous cheap shots at Matt Light. But the only team that hasn't given Matt Light trouble this year was Jason Taylor.
And he usually gives them a whole bunch of trouble. So if you're looking at it just that way, I mean, you can see you just need eyes to see it. He's just getting manhandled now. He doesn't have that quick first step like he used to. Nothing wrong with that. He's just getting older. But, you know, you turn on the TV and there they are making him a superstar again. All right, we got Andy from Sioux City, Iowa.
Do you have it, Andy in the end zone too, like Andy Hart does?
That's a great commercial. I need to get that taped.
He goes, hey guys, I know this has already been beat to death, but after reading my PFW last night, finally made it to Iowa. I don't understand how a true Patriots fan could possibly want a pass player to have a good game, winning kick, or anything else good while playing against the Patriots. I like a lot of the past players and own their jerseys and wish them well as long as it doesn't hurt the Patriots. But there is no way I will wish Adam anything but a shank when we play the Colts. He has won some huge games for the Patriots, but he's not a Patriot anymore. Great article on Tippett. I loved watching him play, and he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Keep up the great work.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, if you're...
Whatever team you root for, you shouldn't root for them to lose.
Right.
Just because there's got... Now, I would personally go into a game like that with Adam, and I would hope that Adam makes every kick and the Patriots win. You know, if it comes down to a game-winning kick, and I have no choice but to root for him to miss, I have to root for him to miss. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, it was the same way when Drew used to play. I used to root for Drew to have a good, solid game, and then they
when
lose.
Drew used to play.
When Drew used to play, back when he had a job.
No, I think you're right.
Drew. They love me everywhere I go.
There's no shame in rooting for former players that you once liked, but when they're playing your team, and you're rooting for him to not only play well, but to make a game-winning field goal to defeat you.
Right.
That's a little much. We got a Shane Cahill from Miami chiming in.
Didn't we already have Shane Cahill from Waco?
They're all over the place, these Shane Cahills. This says Shane Miami. Maybe I'm in the minority in this one, but I personally did not see much improvement in the passing game in the Bills game. Other than the Jackson TD catch and a few passes to Watson, I saw Pat still struggle to get something going. They had a good opening drive, and after that did not do much until the third quarter. Hey, I'm just calling it like I see it. I'm not blaming Brady, Josh McDaniels, or anybody else. If they need more time to know each other, then so be it. But I did not see the big improvement everybody is talking about. I hope to see more against the Vikings because the same type of performance will not get it done in Minnesota.
I don't think PFW was included in that everybody. I saw those same stories in some of the local papers kind of saying that the timing's there and they're making play. I didn't really see it either.
The timing is there?
Yeah, that they're...
That's ridiculous. But if you don't think there was an improvement...
Well, maybe a little. I didn't think it was that great.
They completed four passes to wide receivers the first game against Buffalo. You know, from that, it's been night and day different between that and what they did on Sunday. Now, were they there?
Wait, are we comparing
so
it just
far,
to the did, opener, or are we comparing it in general?
Well, they were terrible against Miami, too.
Because I think they've been just average.
Absolutely.
I don't think they took any...
I think that was the first game.
Minimal.
I think that was the first game that they were average. I got to be honest with you.
Oh, I don't think so.
I just can't understand that. And then we're talking about... They started off the game with the first drive. They were effective, and then they didn't do anything again until the third quarter. Okay, so they had a bad second quarter.
Yeah.
I mean, I
thought they looked – I thought they the play calling was better.
I still think people are comparing it to vintage Brady, throwing for 4,100 yards last year. And
right.
That's not what's – it's not going to be like
and
that.
And I got news for you. Brady threw for 4,100 yards. They were 10-6. So I'd rather him be 5-1 and Brady be, quote-unquote, struggling. All right, we got Wayne in, I believe, Jacksonville, Florida on the phone.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up, Wayne?
Hey, you know, what another good weekend. Loved it. Watched Jacksonville meltdown. That was nice. And
Are you down there in Jacksonville, Wayne? Are they the biggest bunch of front runners you've ever seen? At home, they're beating teams by 30 points. They go on the road, they can't beat the worst teams in football.
It is just amazing. It is just amazing to watch them do that. I mean, I don't
know
how they
do it. Not that amazing. It knocked me out of my knockout pool.
Oh, my God. I could not believe they melted down like that. I mean, I was watching.
Actually, I'm not even mad.
Oh,
amazing.
No.
Is Del Rio is feeling the heat down there?
Oh, they're eating their own right now. They are all over those guys. I mean, but they are hurt. I mean, they do have a lot
no,
of
No, they do
up.
Have injuries.
And but they have no depth, and they're feeling it hard right now. And they're just all over them. I mean, you know, the whole Byron Leftwich ankle issue. It was all last week. And, what did he show up on, like, Friday and mentioned, oh, by the way, I can't walk or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then on it went. And, you know, I just saw it coming. Here we go. So.
Yeah. Wish I had known about that ankle injury before I made my selection, to be
I
honest with
you. It was all over the news. Hey, by the way, I can't walk today. It's like, oh, wait. And then they put him in and they leave him in.
I didn't know it until Saturday and my pick had to be in Friday.
And then what was his comments, the coach's comments after? Well, you know, he kind of looked okay. You know, I was going to pull him. I wasn't going to pull him. Then he went in third quarter. He went down and marched and they didn't pull him. So, you know, now they're all over him for that. So here we go back to the playoffs. You know, a year ago, you know, should
Garrard
in, or should we put, you know, leave Leftwich in injured, and they go right back to leaving him in injured. So there, anyways, I didn't call the clock box then. It's just fun to watch him meltdown, though. what's the outlook for Minnesota? It looks like our passing game is coming along here. What's the outlook for Minnesota? Do we take him or not?
That's going to be a tough game. I know, I think we all think it's going to be a relatively close game. The only thing is that Minnesota's played a bunch of NFC teams, so you have to see how good they are. I believe all NFC teams have to prove their worth by beating a good AFC team. And the only AFC team Minnesota's played was Buffalo, and they lost. So this is a big game for Minnesota for the future, the direction they're headed, I believe. I think they really need to win this game to show, hey, here we are, we're a contender, we're not just another good NFC team.
Well, they're playing tough. And I think this is going to be one of those games I'm going to be sitting biting my nails because we don't know a whole lot about them. But they're what are they? One loss difference. They did good this week. So I watched them play this week. I was they did a pretty good job.
And they also don't. You look at them. They don't have any glaring holes.
No.
Anything you say. You know what? We're just going to attack that. They're pretty consistent.
Kicking game.
Yeah, kicking game. They had a couple blocked kicks early in the year. That's what Bill said.
Snap on an extra
Bobble
point.
The snap. But, right. You know, run offense, run defense, pass offense, pass defense, they're pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's interesting, an interesting matchup when you face a team that doesn't necessarily have a hole.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, the passing game's coming along. It seemed like it seemed like it was, I don't know, you know, Chad Jackson got a couple nice plays, but then missed a couple nice plays. And same thing with Caldwell, you know what I mean? It seemed like he got a couple nice catches and then missed a couple nice catches. So, I don't know. It seems like it's improved, but you'd like to see him make a couple more, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if it's at this level all the way through, then I think you might have a problem. But I think that they are making some gradual improvements, and that's all you can hope for. You got to hope that you can get better.
And that's what you guys have been saying all along. It's going to take time. You can't expect, you know.
Yeah, but we're all suck up. We're all suck up homers that have been, you know, just making excuses for Brady, according to our emailers.
We're just defending a first ballot Hall of Famer. You know, I don't know what we're thinking. We should be defending Rashay Caldwell.
I don't know how. If you look around the league and you see what quarterbacks and backups people have, I don't know how anybody can complain. We are looking. I don't want anybody else but those guys.
It's because
I'm going to stick with him. I mean, you can't expect a guy to go out there and play with. He doesn't know their timing. He doesn't know how they do their job. Every player runs a little different. All that's different. And when he throws the ball, maybe he's throwing it to a guy. Maybe he isn't. Maybe he's just like, I'm not comfortable with it. I'm going to throw it over. If he gets it, he gets it. I'm just going to take a safe play and not get a pick. So it's going to just take time, my opinion. And it's coming along.
Well, I know how they can complain. It's called New England. No one is ever happy.
Never
here.
Happy. You got the best team duel out there going. I mean, our backup is probably better than most of the guys starting right now.
I mean, I got to be honest with you. I've only
never happy.
I've only lived. I only came from like 2.5 hours away, but the attitude changed just 2.5 hours. I mean, people, their team's 5-1. They're miserable.
Oh my god!
It's like they haven't won a game in 2 years. It's amazing.
Now you got to come down here and listen to some Jaguars to really know some misery, then, because I get to listen to it, and it's like, oh, I'm just happy with what I got. I'll take it all day long.
Well, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. We'll talk about
good
day. Take care.
All right, that was Wayne from Jacksonville. Give us a little insight on our old buddy Jack Del Rio.
I'm surprised that everybody pretty much that we've talked to so far.
Yeah, I think their defense is
Del Rio.
Thinks that it's going
to
be
good
a tough
edit there,
game.
Gary.
Yeah. Yeah, I think their defense at Del Rio.
Well, I think.
I think their defense is
Del Rio.
I think the perception, Paul, goes back to. I think it always goes back to a week ago. Now, I don't think there would have been any shame if the Vikings lost a close game in Seattle. But if they had, I think people would think, well, the Patriots are going to kill them. But since they beat Seattle, by the way, the game they were ahead, I believe, when Hasselbeck went out. So
I thought they were losing.
Minnesota went on a huge run.
Yeah, it wasn't a blowout game. And they recovered a fumble in the end zone.
I know it was close. It was very close when Hasselbeck went out. And then, the floodgates kind of opened. So I think even that score is deceiving. But I bet you if they lost last week in Seattle, people would be talking about, they're not that good.
But I'm just surprised that usually we get a lot of, they're over. I'm surprised we haven't had the overrated line yet, which I don't know who's even really rating Minnesota. But
that's why I think we're universally, no one talks about them.
We are universally flooded with emails telling us how the other team that we're playing is overrated, and I haven't really seen any yet.
And I think it's because, Brad Johnson's the quarterback. The media is not really in love with them. Now, when the Bears come, as we'll be hearing how overrated they are, and the Colts in a couple of weeks.
You're probably right about Seattle, too, Tom, because that's what they would be saying is, who have they beaten?
Right.
And now at least you get, they beat Seattle, and most people think that Seattle's a pretty good team. So.
Yep, 8-8 if they're lucky. 8-8.
The Seahawks are going to go 8-8?
Picks getting better by the day.
You know why.
I forgot.
The interesting thing is here, we have another...
Dealing with the devil!
We have another email from Shane Cahill, but this says Marco from Lexington, Kentucky. So apparently Shane sends in emails and then just uses other names.
Shane's effing with you.
he doesn't understand why kickers struggle as rookies. They're told that they just need to get used to the NFL. What do they need to get used to that's so different from college? The field's the same. The goalposts are the same. They're not playing a skill position where they have to learn a lot of new plays, formations, a faster pace of pro football. You can tell me that it is pressure because all players have to deal with that, and that includes college. They can either kick or they can't. What is it they have to get acclimated to so much?
Ball's different.
The ball's different and the goalposts are different. Other than that, everything else you said is okay. I mean, the ball is much different, and the goalposts are more narrow.
And the hashes are different, too, right?
Well, that's why they're more narrow.
Right, but it changes the angles and everything on your kicks. Plus, they're in the NFL now. You miss a kick in, some random college game, you go back to class the next day, you miss a kick here, and you're out of the league. I mean, there's a different pressure.
Unless you, you play for one of those major programs, you end up losing your scholarship or something.
Yeah, but it's not the same. I mean,
no, it's not. And
billions of dollars are kind of on the line every time you kick.
Right, and the kicking game is so specialized in the NFL, you're expected to make, you know, 80-plus percent of your kicks. Well, in college, no one really has that, that high of an expectation. I mean, you're dealing with, if you can make more than you miss, you'd be all right in college.
Distances, they don't always go for them at certain, you know what I mean?
Right. There's a lot of differences in the kick. I think that's a, one of the
like
one
in
of
college,
the bigger,
they never go for the mid-range kick. It's, they either go for the real long one
down
or the short one.
Right.
In the, kind of in the middle, they go for it.
All right. We got Russell Early Doucette from the OC. He says, gentlemen and Big Show Perillo.
Call comes to us direct from the Worcester Telegram and Gazette.
Why do you have to play that one? You know that's the only one that bothers me.
He says, a while back, someone asked if Brady would retire a Patriot, and you all thought not, citing Montana leaving San Francisco. I think you should remember who the owner and GM were. They had illegally circumvented the salary cap. The NFL was closing in on them. Unless the Patriots end up with that type of situation, very unlikely, or Brady just prices himself out of the universe, he should remain to the end. Plus, I don't see him sticking around way past his expiration date like Favre has. Lastly, with Vic once again shouting his own praises after he completes a couple of passes that are, what are the odds that these quarterbacks, all viewed by most national media people as above Brady, winning multiple Super Bowls?
I don't know of a quarterback who's viewed as above Brady,
That's garbage. That's garbage.
There's only one that's in the conversation, and that's Manning.
Some people have Manning 1,
right.
Brady 2. And, you know.
People in Atlanta, I mean, a lot of people think Michael Vick shouldn't be starting for his own team. They're not putting him ahead
of
Tom Brady.
And a lot of national guys say that as well. I don't remember, by the way. I do remember being asked about whether or not Brady would finish his career with New England. I don't remember.
I went with no.
I don't remember opining no on that. I don't remember giving my opinion that. I said there's a chance. I mean, I wouldn't say it's a guarantee.
No, we did bring up the Joe Montana thing, but he's talking about the GM and coach. 8 years from now, how do we know Pioli and Belichick are going to even be here?
You have no
idea. What did the circumvention of the cap have to do with the Montana situation? Nothing.
They
Montana
wanted to go to Steve Young because he was a
younger
quarterback.
Exactly. And that could happen anywhere.
And I
had nothing to do with salary cap. They didn't get rid of Montana for salary cap reasons. They got rid of Montana because he hurt his back, and they thought that Steve Young was better and Montana was done.
And there's going to be a point,
and they were wrong,
where Tom Brady is making $12 million a year, and Bill Belichick doesn't think he's a $10 million a year player anymore,
right,
and Brady's going to go somewhere else. Unless Belichick's not here.
Come on down to Tom Brady's Falafel City.
well, I just wanted
to... But I don't think that's necessarily going to happen. I'm just trying to present a scenario that he might not be here for his whole career.
And you know what? Let's be honest. In 10 years, if Brady's not performing, I mean, people are calling for his head now. In 10 years, you're not going to want him to stick around. You're going to be saying, put in so-and-so.
People are making fun of us for defending him now. What's going to happen in 5 years?
Well, Jim chimes in, and he was basically just talking about what we've been talking about, Seymour and the left side of the line, and we've kind of touched on that already. And we'll take one more before we go to a break. Whoa. This is... What?
Setting up a break?
Announcing that we're going to take a break. Unlike Fred, who says, oh, it's an email right after.
Yeah, we'll take one more. This is a little long for me. You know, I'm not used to being a host.
I laugh at you because I can tell when you get to the end of the line. There's a little pause before you get to the other side and start reading again. It's like they're changing flip cards on you on one of those
was
TV
that
shows.
Throwing around
the ball.
I'll tell you what, though. I read the last line, and it said, Tom, although I very much respect your football insight, your music appreciation blows. Who's this guy?
Who's this guy?
I might not read the rest of your email. Shannon, right. It's Shannon Klink. Is this the guy, the girl?
Yes, that's the guy in Seattle, whatever.
Okay.
Klink? That's where he's from?
Klink?
No, that's his last name.
Oh,
I pronounce people's last name on here. I couldn't help but notice a few things that were a bit different in our beloved Pats this last game versus Buffalo. The first one jumped out at me right away. Those were the bullets Brady was delivering from the first snap of the game. I wouldn't have been surprised to hear of a broken finger from one or more of the receivers on the injury report this week, the way he was drilling the balls into them. Did he get the new Pope to bless his shoulder during the bye week to get on top of his previous blessing from a few seasons ago? Seriously, that was really good to see.
The Pope, we kind of go in another direction with our theory there. kind of the opposite of the Pope.
With the devil.
That's Andy Hart, H-A-R-T. The second one was the outstanding play from these two linebackers from the Pats. Their names are Seau and Vrabel. I think I've heard of them before. I just don't know where. All kidding aside.
Not in the game book this year for Vrabel.
Seau was shooting gaps all game and making great instinctive plays. And Vrabel looked the stud we all are used to, getting to the quarterback and stripping the ball away. Not only did those two play well, but I wanted to give kudos to the entire defense. Great game. And lastly, I was really impressed with the receiving corps. Troy Brown continues to make solid catches. Gabriel made some good ones as well. Caldwell's seemed to find his groove. Watson looked like the beast to tackle, and it was good to see Jackson's speed be utilized on that end around and deep TD pass. And then he has his little opinion about my taste in music. Go listen to the Rolling Stones or Fish or whatever it is, the crap you
go get high.
To. Yeah, you can call our intern Kyle. You guys can go tour and follow the Disco Biscuits or whatever idiot group took over for Fish. Yeah, that's the group I think that took over for Fish.
I've never even heard of them.
Where all the people with no lives follow around the country instead of getting a job. All right, let's take a break. We'll be back.
Breaks a tackle, drives it upfield, to the 10, to the 5, touchdown, Benjamin Watson!
From a first-round draft pick in 2004 to owning the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history, Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champs. Now you can get an official mini replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots signed by Benjamin Watson free. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to the first 400 with qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen,
it smells great, hon.
Or renovate the bathroom.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my darling.
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard a little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hi, this is Clint Dempsey of your New England Revolution. We're headed back to the playoffs for the fifth straight season. Another MLS Cup appearance and our first ever championship is the only goal.
Dempsey, the goal!
Saturday, October 28th at 7:30 p.m., we kick off our quest for the cup against Chicago Fire at Gillette Stadium, and we want you there.
New England is revved up for another postseason appearance and a trip back to MLS Cup. Playoff action and soccer passion explodes Saturday, October 28th at Gillette Stadium. Join 2006 Honda Player of the Year Clint Dempsey and the rest of the Revs on the quest for the cup. With tickets starting at just $18, free parking, and free admittance to the interactive soccer theme park soccer celebration, New England Revolution Soccer is an affordable, fun night for the whole family. Don't miss it! Be a part of the playoff passion by calling 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 and get your kicks, get your playoff ticks, and get the Revolution!
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip. And suddenly, my hips start shaking, and my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house. even when I'm at the movies. It happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
Hunger and want the awesome authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home. Tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks, and more. With Patriots Gridiron Grillers, you don't have to wait for the game for that great stadium taste. Gridiron Grillers are available at Agar and CNS Wholesalers, Big Y, DeMoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Food Master, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farms, Shaw's, Stop and Shop, and at your local supermarket. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
This is PFW in Progress.
The pressures, and I'm not judging them, I'm not labeling them, but they are destroying your potential. There are no more shenanigans, no more tomfoolery, no more ballyhoo.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the presence of greatness.
Paul Perillo.
Double burger.
Chuck, I had a double burger.
Did you shut up? I know what you ordered. I was there.
So give me that sandwich.
Give me your sandwich. I bought it.
Can I have my food now, please?
Here's your double burger.
Mikey, Ricky, Danny, Terry, Mikey, Davey, Timmy, Tommy, Joey, Robbie, Johnny.
And Andy. And Andy?
Former winners include Nobel laureates, Fields Medal winners, renowned astrophysicists, and lowly.
Andy Hart.
Well, that's all. If you have any questions, I'm sure that Tom has the answers.
Some guy named Tom.
Look, you're my best friend, so don't take this the wrong way. 20 years, if you're still living here, coming over to my house to watch the Patriots game, I'll kill you.
PFW in Progress.
Sky rockets in flight, afternoon delight. Hey, afternoon delight.
All right, Tom Casale and Andy Hart with you. We lost the fat man, and we're running lean. Paul Perillo left to do the big show. Quite an irony that it's named the big show.
Well, on that show, he's small. There's some fat asses on that show.
That is true. Worcester Telegram and Gazette.
That's always nice making fun of Paul when he's not here.
It's tremendous. Can't do it when he's here. He'll cry. He'll sulk. He won't talk to you for a half hour.
Half hour? It's been a good week. Well, you want to get back to the emails? I got
sure.
Nothing to say. Well, we had one from Dan Heffernan that rebuttal to Paul. We told him the rebuttal. But, Dan, I think you took a shot at me the last time I was on here, so I'm not going to read it on the air. So put that in your Christmas story or whatever the hell it is that you do. We got David McKeegan. Hello. The tickets are secure, and I'll be in Minnesota on Monday for my first Patriot game. It's a great feeling knowing that you're going to be at the game rather than waiting to watch it. I don't mind Matt Light. In terms of teams, he has three rings, I believe. Another thing I didn't mind was watching rookie Nick Kazier playing Matt Light's position last year. I thought that Kazier had an outstanding rookie season, especially considering that this isn't Kazier's normal position. Nick's shoulder injury was serious. How is he looking? Is he close to returning? If he returns, I think he has something to contribute. Pats 24, Minnesota 13.
First of all, he was a left tackle at Toledo for, I believe, all four seasons. I believe he started as a freshman and protected our boy, Bruce Gradkowski, mm-hmm. for 3 years there. I don't know the situation with Nick Kazier. I'll be honest with you. I personally believe, and this is just my opinion, no one has told me anything, that there might be more going on there than just a shoulder injury.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was healthy enough to come back and play, what was that, New York?
He played a preseason game.
No, he played a regular season game.
He did?
Yeah, when O'Callaghan had the head injury.
Oh, that's right.
He played. So, well, he was active.
He was active.
And he played, like, reserve action. Britt played in the game. I don't know exactly what's going on there. He hasn't been active since then. I just don't know because I too, had high hopes for him. I thought he played pretty well last year. obviously kind of had him penciled in as your starting right tackle. And then O'Callaghan came in, and I think he's done a fine job. But I think in the long run, you'd be a better football team with Nick Kazier playing your swing tackle spot, because I do think he has the ability to play both left and right. As I said, in college, played a lot of left, played some right here and left last year. But I just don't really have the details. He's rarely in the locker room. He is working out. But I said he, you know, he came back and he was active, so I find it hard to believe it's just the shoulder that's holding him back. I don't know if he hasn't fit in with the system or if they just believe he's not one of the best 45 right now. You know, I really don't know.
Yeah, it is interesting because you'd think by now he would be ready to go on the field on a consistent basis, and
yeah,
to this point we haven't seen it.
I mean, if it had been so serious where it was going to be an issue, I would have thought he would have remained on PUP and had that six-week window to start the year. They didn't do that. They started practicing him, and then he was active for games. So,
right,
you know, maybe it is lingering, but it's certainly not enough to totally keep him out of action, be the only reason he's not out there.
Right, especially if there's an injury at that position, and like you said, Britt played the
right
majority of the game, and yeah, he was just active.
I don't know exactly what's going on there. I wish I had more.
Okay, Andy Hart with nothing. Sean,
I didn't hear you chime in with much.
Hey, I'm low man on the totem pole. I don't get to talk to the insiders like you and Paul.
You are low man now, and I like it. I actually had my own seat on the plane, and you were squished for once.
That whole plane thing's a bunch of crap. Don't even get me on that. I mean, look at Gary sits in the middle. Gary, what's he doing? Nothing.
Listening to his quiet comfort iPod.
We have to write for a living on the way home, and Gary's taking up a middle seat.
I agree with him on this one.
He's pressing buttons in there.
Slow as can be. It took you forever to get to that one.
I hit a wrong letter.
See what I mean? Okay, Sean McLaughlin says, not confident of the matchup this week. The Vikings are strong against the run and have solid DBs. This will be a low-scoring game. I see a Viking 17-13 victory. Memo to Pats fans, let's stop worrying about the Colts, Broncos, and what Seattle is doing right now. Let's worry about what we are going to do. Two things. You touched on the Monday Night Football program. What happened to Susie Colbert? Too much Botox the other day? Come on, Susie. You do not need it. She does look kinda bad.
I always thought she was kinda like naturally pretty, not like,
yeah.
And now she's weird, like she did try to do too
much
something.
Or something.
Bonnie is hot, but Susie Colbert is hotter.
Now
Colbert
neither of them
rules.
Are hot. Now Aaron Andrews on ESPN is my favorite.
It's funny that he played that soundbite, because we have an email from Fred Kirsch coming up in a little bit. What he thinks about Susie Colbert.
We'll look forward to that.
I won't be able to say the whole thing on the air. Pat's trivia. This is actually a pretty good question. What former NFL MVP was drafted by the Patriots but never played a down for the Pats?
Fran Tarkenton.
Played a number of years with the Vikings.
Fran Tarkenton.
That answer is incorrect.
Sure about that?
Yes, according to this email. I mean, I knew the answer, of course.
Pretty sure Fran Tarkenton was drafted by the Patriots.
Well, maybe there's two answers.
So, NFL MVP, drafted by the Patriots, played for the Vikings. I got nothing.
It's Rich Gannon.
Oh, yes, that is true.
He was drafted by the Pats to play defensive back.
Yes, out of, like, Delaware or one of those schools.
He would have been a nice quarterback of the future instead of Tommy Hodson, Hugh Millen, Jeff Carlson, etc.
Did Fran Tarkenton ever win the MVP?
I don't know if he ever won the MVP award. That I cannot answer.
When did he play?
In the 70s.
So he would have been drafted in early the 70s, maybe?
Yeah. So
While
Andy is doing that, I will go on with the emails. We got TG in New Jersey. Triple A team. Well, unless it's just Paul here, or you're referring to me and Andy, Paul has left, so it's just the double A team now.
The double A team,
yeah.
Baby.
Paul has gone on to do bigger and better things. To the old adage, the game is won in the trenches, it's true, if it's true. It sounds like we aren't going to get this one this weekend. Too many injuries at the line. The biggest criticism I can give the Pats line is lack of speed. What do you guys think? The only X factor I can see is that these two teams don't know each other, so we really don't know how these matchups are going to play out. The idea of a high-scoring game seems to make sense, although past game results do not indicate it. That is true. But the way the NFL games have been playing out this year so far, you have to expect anything to happen. Is that Bethel Johnson on kick returns for the Vikings?
Yes.
Thanks for getting back to the football talk. Great job. Well, that's what happens when Fred's not here. Thanks for the email. What do you think about the lack of speed on the defensive line? It was the defensive line, right? Yeah.
That's not what they're about, necessarily. That's not high on their list of attributes. I think they need strong, stout players with some athleticism. But when you're playing a two-gap system, you're looking for guys that can hold their ground at the point of attack, not shoot gaps. I mean, I think you're talking about things that would be changing the system. If you're looking for more speed-based linemen, then now you're talking about more of a 4-3, one-gap kind of system. I don't think this system up front is based on speed. You know, I don't think the linebackers are all that fast. It's not, as I said, I don't think it's necessarily on the top of their list of attributes they're looking for from front seven players.
Yeah, I mean, none of them are going to run down.
No.
Player, you know, they're not Dwight Freeney.
Right, and it's, I think Seymour and Warren and Wilfork, I think they all have good speed and good athleticism for 310 Wilfork's probably 350.
Yeah, in a short area.
Right, but they're not necessarily speed-based players.
Right.
It's a different system. It's not what they're looking for.
Okay, Charles near Baltimore. The way my pea brain understands it, is that in the 3-4 he almost always draws a double team, meaning Seymour? That helps the rest of the line and the linebackers make plays and lowers his stats. I think the fact that he gets any plays is a tribute to his talent. Try to imagine the run defense without him occupying the extra blocker. Also, boy, does our running game and pass protection suffer without Graham. Yeah, I would agree with that. Graham is not about the numbers. He's a guy who blocks. For those of you that don't know, I did a story about him.
Basically the story.
Yes. So
he's blocking. He's important to the offense, even if the numbers don't show it. He's like Mark Bavaro.
I didn't say he was like Mark Bavaro. That comes from a guy by the name of Bill Belichick, who knows a little bit more about football than Andy Hart. So
I beg to differ. I think there's two people in this town that know more about football than Bill Belichick, Andy Hart and Ron Borges.
There you go.
And both of us believe it.
There you go. Right. It's on the record. Andy Hart aligning himself with Ron Borges. Gary's got the clip. You can always go back and hear it. Andy Hart and Ron Borges. The only thing is that Borges drives a Porsche and Andy drives a beaten down old pickup truck.
That's pretty accurate.
Will in Omaha.
Omaha.
Can't we measure Seymour's success in part by the contributions he makes to other players? I'm not talking about Warren or Green or Wolfork, but outside linebackers or inside linebacker blitzes that come from his side. Maybe I'm oversimplifying the defense, but if Seymour is being double-teamed, then theoretically an outside linebacker blitz on the same side should have, at most, a chip block by a tight end or running back to deal with on the way to the quarterback. So how have the linebackers on Seymour's side of the ball been doing when it comes to quarterback pressure? Terrible.
Not good. That's the problem we brought up. It's Rosie Colvin. We need to see more production from him. He's supposed to be a guy that could get there on his own, never mind with the help of an all-pro in front of him. And he just hasn't done it. I thought he had a good week and a half early in the year, and all of a sudden since then just hasn't done anything.
No, I agree. It looked like early on in the year Colvin was going to be a force, one of those 10 to 12 sack guys
I predicted 14.
14.
What does he have now, like 1.5 or something?
Andy Borges over there had 14 sacks.
I'm not negative.
I got bigger things to worry about. I still got to figure out how I'm going to have my first bowel movement.
Careful, so, that's all they're going to ask you to worry about.
So
bench.
Colvin needs to step it up. He's got a tough test this week with McKinney over there. He's going to have to use his speed to try and beat him, but... you know, that's a tall order. We have a Matt from, is it Quincy? Is that how you pronounce it? Or is
Quincy.
It Quincy.
That's where Moore O'Brien, our designer, is from.
It's more of a Z, Quincy.
I thought it was Quincy. Yeah, Quincy.
John Quincy Adams. And it's
I'm aware, but it's
him.
Massachusetts, and they call it Quincy.
Just because they say it, she also says stupid stuff to me like, yuz. Am I supposed to say yuz because she says yuz?
What's yuz?
What are yuz doing? All yiz guys, and she says stupid stuff
yuz,
like that.
It's yiz.
Listen, we're talking
about whatever. I'm not going to say stupid stuff just because they do it.
We're talking about a state that outlaws tag at one of their elementary schools. So
elementary?
You know.
I think that was in Quincy.
How do you say it?
Elementary.
Elementary schools. So
elementary.
I've always said it that way.
Boy, this show has just took a turn for the worse. That first hour was good.
Thanks for being a Quincy, Matt.
Anyways, Matt,
What was the question?
Well, he just has a rant about Drew Bledsoe stinking, being stupid. He's always been stupid.
Yeah, we've already been over that.
You know, he just has a rant, basically my rant without the F words.
Yeah, we've been there, done that.
All right, what do we got here? We have a Russ from Canton. Is that Canton, Ohio?
Guessing Canton, Mass.
Okay, he says, I was listening to PA and Dubé on KFAN in Minnesota online this morning. I have no idea who those people are. I wanted to hear the other side's feeling on the game. They mentioned that Marcus Robinson is out for Monday night. Now, I have not heard anything about that. Have you, Andy?
No.
Okay.
But I haven't even seen the injury report.
Yeah, we haven't
yet.
Seen the injury report. So if that is what they're reporting, then it's probably true.
Yeah, they probably know more than us about the Vikings.
Yeah, they are hoping that Bethel Johnson can step up and make a difference.
Good luck with that.
If the wide receiver situation is that desperate that a team is hoping Bethel can contribute, good luck. FYI, these guys, PA and Dubé, are not homers and give a balanced assessment of the game. I think defensively, if they are going to be one-dimensional, the loss of Seymour might not be that great for this game. Regards. Bethel Johnson couldn't do anything here in his 3 or 4 years, however long he was here, so I doubt he's going to do anything in his second week in Minnesota. So if that's what they're banking on, good luck.
Although he did almost take his first kick return as a Viking to his house.
We have, he could do something on special teams, but not as receiver.
Right.
We have John from Palm Bay on the phone. John, what's going on?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, John?
I was just really happy that the offense finally did seem like it was clicking. That they were throwing a lot of those short passes with tight end screens that I've been kind of hoping that Devin would throw.
Yeah, they mixed it up a little, and that's, you know, we've talked to the last couple of weeks a lot about that, whether they needed to do a little more of that, the short passing game and the screens. They were able to do it. They even got a couple big plays later in the game, you know, obviously the 35-yarder to Jackson. So it's definitely taking baby steps. I heard Rishay Caldwell say that it's taking longer than he thought to kind of learn the system and get things moving in the right direction. But it seems like they're creeping in that direction.
And I know you guys say that the Patriots do get respect, but in the national media, I never hear anything about best young quarterbacks, Tom Brady's main name mentioned too much. And he's still under 30.
Well, that's because he's mentioned as the best quarterback. I mean, I think he gets generally recognized as the best quarterback in the game or, you know, Manning-Brady conversation.
Yeah, quarterback would be Matt Leiner.
I think they give him enough respect at this point, regardless of what his age is. He's been a starter. What's this, the seventh season as a starter? Mm-hmm. You have 3 Super Bowls, been to the playoffs. I mean, I think he's considered the best and not, you know, listed as a young quarterback. He is the best.
Yeah, and I just had a quick question. If the Patriots do happen to win a couple more Super Bowls, 1 or 2, hopefully 3, before the decade's out, do you think they'll be listed as one of the greatest teams ever in NFL history?
Yeah, no question. I mean, I think they're already
listed.
They're in the conversation. I mean, some of the things they've done with these different streaks, the 21-game winning streak, you know, this other streak they have now going, they're going to pass the 49ers maybe, having not lost back-to-back games. They're at 55 games right now, I think.
Damn right.
Some of the things they've done in individual units, defenses, performances, offense, Brady. I mean, I think they're in the conversation. And, yeah, if you win 2 or 3 more, they're going to be considered the greatest team in the history of football for this period.
Right. All right. Well, I'm just glad that we went in, and I'm looking forward to seeing the game on national TV instead of having to go to a sports bar and watch it.
All right. Well, enjoy it Monday night.
Thanks,
all right,
John.
Take care. All right, Andy, well, we're 1 hour and 20 minutes into the show, and I'm going to do a first. I'm going to give out the email address and phone number. If you would like to write in, it's webradio@patriots.com. The phone number, 508-543-7482. See, this is the problem when we come down and Paul says you're hosting, and now no one even knows the email address.
Oh, we got plenty of emails and calls, so I guess it didn't hurt us.
Well, one of our emails is from Jeff in Moncton, NB, Canada. Is that New Britain?
New Brunswick, I think.
New Brunswick, Canada.
New Britain's in Connecticut.
I don't know much about Canada. I don't want to go there. I don't care. No offense, Jeff, but I just don't care for your country.
No offense to the Canadians.
I'm more of the South Park view of Canada.
Blame Canada.
Since Brad Johnson isn't a real mobile quarterback, if the Pats can put a good pass rush on him and hold the run, could that be the two keys to victory this Monday night?
Yes.
yeah, I mean, obviously he's more of a statue than, well, he's a statue back there. And,
yeah, he's a statue. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, and if, it's like we've been saying all along, you know, the pass rush, it needs to show up. And it needs to show up in a game like this where you got a good offensive. I mean, I know we talk about the left side. Matt Burke at center, when he went down last year, that offense was never the same. I mean, mm-hmm. they just kept bringing pressure up, you know, in the middle. But the right side isn't quite as good. So maybe Vrabel has a big game, things like, you know, Ty Warren has a big game. But they definitely have to put pressure on Johnson because he's a smart quarterback. If you give him time, you know, the Patriots secondary, I don't think even the biggest Patriots fan in the world would say their secondary is great. So if you give a quarterback time, he's going to have time to find the open receivers and pick you apart. So they got to get a pass rush this week, and you know, I think we all think that.
Where does it come from? You looking for Vrabel? Is that what he's just?
Yeah, I'm saying Vrabel and
maybe something up the middle too.
You know, Colvin's got to make some plays. It's
Seau
blitz up the middle, yeah, things like that. It's gonna be an interesting matchup. It's one of those things, like, you know, I know they don't play the Lions a lot either, but the Lions stink. So that's not really interesting to me.
Right.
Plus, you know, March versus Belichick, that's like fishing with dynamite.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. This to me is an interesting game because Childress looks like he's a good coach. He has his team well prepared, and it's kind of an interesting matchup. Teams that you don't see a lot play, and you know, then the next week you got the Colts and the Bears are coming, the Jets are coming. So this is the best part of the season, in my opinion.
I just think on paper it looks like it could be such a good game. Two patient teams, two pretty well-rounded teams.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worried that all of a sudden it's just going to lay an egg and be a stinker of a game in one direction or the other. Because I really do think this could be a very, very good football game to watch.
Right.
And usually when I think something, it's wrong and go the other way.
Unlike last week where, I mean, man, you think the city of Buffalo, I mean, that city of Buffalo is miserable. I mean, that is a miserable, miserable place to be. And then you know the Patriots are going to rip through them, so you don't even get to watch a good game. What a terrible place.
Do you see we had an Ask PFW that said the first ever football game, NFL Stadium, they were in Buffalo last weekend and wanted to know where that ranked. At the bottom.
Yes, at the bottom.
I would say the only one that's even comparable, and this might surprise some people because it hosted a Super Bowl a couple of years ago, is Jacksonville, is a similar kind of stadium where it's just not nice.
I've never been there. So
I mean, plus they ran out of concessions at halftime of the Super Bowl. I mean, that pretty much tells the story.
But Buffalo, I mean, we were there for a day. We didn't see the sun for a second.
Abysmal.
Not 1 second.
Just, Plus, it was even worse than usual because they had all the damage from that blizzard snowstorm they had. So,
and then we had to watch their team play football, which is the worst part of being there.
J.P. Lossman.
Speaking of a mess, Fred Kirsch chimes in about Susie Colbert. Susie Colbert is an effing mess, if you ask me. So Fred Kirsch, who, by the way, was in charge of sensitivity training yesterday.
Yeah, she's taking a turn for the worse. She's starting to maybe show her age or something. She's not the hottie that she once was. Of course, Fred, you know, when you're emailing a show and the idea is for us to read it on the air, you could write something that's actually allowed to be read on the air.
Well, he probably didn't want us to read that, but we have Jeff Simon. He says, "Hey, guys, I have a question for the real MVP of the show. I've been meaning to ask this for a long time. I'm stunned of how well he does his job. How on earth does Gary run those sound clips into the show so seamlessly?
Oh, unfortunately, Gary's not here to hear you read that email.
And, you know, if you call him the MVP of the show, let's be honest, that's a bit of a joke. He presses a button. That's right. How he does it.
When he chooses to, when he's not playing card games on his computer.
His job's so hard, he has a bunch of buttons, and his finger has to actually push them in. So how he does it.
Just like to point out, so seamlessly that we had to wait about 6 seconds to hear a baby cry earlier of dead air.
He says the PFW movie clip intros are the best in the business, but those can be done ahead of time. The sound bites on cue, though, boggle my mind. They are so vast and cover so many different topics. How does he get them in so quick? I once thought he might edit them in later, but you guys are always reacting to the clips in real time. I'm sure his computer software is great, but how do you get the clips so quickly, Gary? Even if they were indexed somehow, I can only guess at how you find the clips of something so specific and insert them into the show so quickly. Please explain how this works to your biggest fan."
I have no idea.
Gary, your mother wants to know how you...
I wasn't even here for the email.
They want to know how you do the sound bite so quickly.
Quote-unquote seamlessly, except for the baby crying that took 7 seconds.
Like,
earlier.
Say if I
hit B-A-B-N instead of Y.
Well, say I use like a Seinfeld reference, and you hit a Seinfeld. How do you do that so quickly?
Hello, Newman.
Yeah, there you go.
He's got a little computer.
I just happen to know what they're all called on my little replay machine.
Well, you don't happen to know. You're the one who put them in, right? So you,
yeah,
know, you name them.
A lot of the emails I'll kind of pre-read, so if it...
That is the secret talking there.
So he's cheating.
Yeah, he
so
does.
If someone's talking about a bad player, I can just hit Dan Klecka, Temple University.
So there's some cheating. There's some technology involved with those little magic box of buttons that it's all cataloged by alphabetical order.
Alphabetically, right.
Yeah.
All my Parcells things are under Tuna.
So there you go.
And instead of Parcells.
Well, I only have a limited amount of space to write my description of the word.
So, but all joking aside, Gary is very good at what he does. I don't think he deserves a middle seat on the plane for it, but you know, he's, you know, he only goes on a trip or so a year, so I guess we can make an exception for him. You know,
I used to go on a lot, but I've been everywhere.
Now you go to Buffalo to go to Billy Ogden's, right?
No, Rob, who does all of our commercials.
Oh, that's right. That's
from
Rob.
Buffalo.
Okay. And I got to be honest with you, Gary. That's a bad trip to pay.
Well, he's from. It's a quick flight and it's a good meal.
Tell him to move to, like, I don't know,
Miami.
Yeah.
So he lives in Buffalo. I thought he lived here.
He's from Buffalo originally.
Well, at least he got out of there. That's like, you know, getting sprung from prison.
I don't know who wouldn't. Who stays there? Probably people who just can't leave.
Jeremy Jacobs.
Yeah, I don't get that one.
That's a bad place. All right. Joe from China Village, Maine. Hey, fellas, is this the best time of year or what? We're beginning to discover what kind of team the Patriots are and start looking forward to bigger tests in front of bigger national audiences. If I'm guilty of looking ahead on the schedule a little bit, I apologize, but I've heard over and over that the Vikings are just an NFC team, and somewhere in my latest edition of PFW, there's a statement that suggests if the Vikings won their division, they would only be considered an average AFC wildcard team. I hear people in the regional sports media repeatedly calling the Bears and Colts fraudulent undefeated teams. Is all this just a bad case of homers, or are the Patriots really that much better? Where did we say they would be an average AFC?
Something you would write.
I think that's true. I think the AFC is better than the NFC, and I think the AFC North or the NFC North stinks.
And the dominating Vikings lost to the Bills, if you want to just...
And oh, by the way, you know what? That wasn't the Vikings. That was the Bears. I said that was our point counterpoint thing.
Yeah.
I said the Bears would be an AFC wild card team if they were in the AFC fighting for a wild card spot. That's kind of something where we come up with an argument and then we have to do it in 2 seconds and we just fire out shots
off the top of your head.
Yeah, and I think the Bears, if they were in the AFC playing teams like the Colts, the Patriots at Jacksonville, the
Broncos.
Chargers, the Broncos, I don't think they would have as easy a time.
It's clear that the AFC is still the better conference.
Yeah.
I mean, you have teams, you know, you want to talk to defense, it's the Chargers. You have teams that are very good in the conference.
I agree. What is going on here?
I don't know. I'm waiting for Gary to add a soundbite. He's so seamless.
Next topic.
Okay, we got a... Is the Patriots cheerleader, Kristen, who was in the office yesterday, getting interviewed by Fred and Paul?
She was. I don't.
No, he had an attachment with a picture, and the answer is no.
What?
He attached a picture
of
a Kristen on the Patriots cheerleaders.
Oh, okay. Is
there's multiple Kristens?
Yes, okay. Kristen Turner was the one who was on yesterday, and the picture is Kristen O'Neill.
I don't know either.
Kristen Turner's right in front of you, right there, with the short black hair.
Okay, and who's the other one? Kristen O'Neill.
Turn it over, third from the right. Excellent radio right now.
Dark hair, big boobs?
That would be fourth from the right.
This one?
Yes.
Blonde hair, little boobs?
Next topic!
Boy, this next email is just stupid. I mean, it's absolutely
okay, read
stupid.
It.
It's from Will from Omaha. Will, I expect better out of this from you than this. Okay, I'm not I'm not blaming anyone in particular, but can we, and I mean the media and emailers, callers, stop using the football cliche lexicon to formulate an argument? When predicting a game, the opposing team is either overrated, flying under the radar, playing smash-mouth football, has a solid insert facet of game here, passing game, running game, kicking game.
I'm just happy to be here.
We didn't use any of those talking about the Vikings
first.
Ball
club.
But and so what? I mean, if you say they have a solid passing game, what do you want us to say? They throw ball good?
That's what Red would say.
We ball good throw, yeah.
I'm not, you know what? This
email is so stupid, I'm not even going to read the rest of it. Will, next time email in, have something better to say, because you're really annoying me. Let's take a break, Gary.
Makes a tackle, drives it upfield, to the 10, to the 5, touchdown, Benjamin Watson!
From a first-round draft pick in 2004 to owning the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history, Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champs. Now you can get an official mini replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots signed by Benjamin Watson free. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to the first 400 with qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen,
it smells great, hun.
Or renovate the bathroom.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my darling.
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard a little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hi, this is Clint Dempsey of your New England Revolution. We're headed back to the playoffs for the fifth straight season. Another MLS Cup appearance and our first ever championship is the only goal.
Dempsey!
Saturday, October 28th at 7:30 p.m., we kick off our quest for the cup against Chicago Fire at Gillette Stadium, and we want you there.
New England is revved up for another postseason appearance and a trip back to MLS Cup. Playoff action and soccer passion explodes Saturday, October 28th at Gillette Stadium. Join 2006 Honda Player of the Year Clint Dempsey and the rest of the Revs on the quest for the cup. With tickets starting at just $18, free parking, and free admittance to the interactive soccer theme park soccer celebration, New England Revolution Soccer is an affordable, fun night for the whole family. Don't miss it! Be a part of the playoff passion by calling 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 and get your kicks, get your playoff ticks, and get the Revolution!
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip. And suddenly, my hips start shaking, and my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house, even when I'm at the movies. It happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
Okay, we're back. Tom Casale and Andy Hart. And Will has chimed back in after my tongue lashing of him.
You going to read this one?
Yeah. Well, I just didn't get what he was saying, because he was saying, like, say something different than throw the ball away. I don't know how else you say it. If Tom Brady throws the ball away, he throws the ball away. But Will says he's crushed. Apparently sarcasm doesn't come across too well when typing. It wasn't a very serious email. It was actually more of a reference to the website I listed. I guess I should emphasize that in-game and halftime commentaries more than just saying media. It wasn't really directed at you guys. I just didn't really understand what you wanted us to call it, but I guess I see what you're saying. Like if you're saying like Madden and those guys with their cliche things, then I get what you're saying. He says, by the way, how do the Pats get to away games? I assume privately chartered jets, but do you know the exact company they use? I do not. Andy answered this question.
I don't either. I walk up those steps, I don't know what I'm looking at on the side of the plane. Gary told us not to answer it.
Just to be safe.
Just so you know, Will. To be safe, how? You mean like Will could have a bomb strapped to his chest?
Talk about making chicken salad out of chicken, Gary. This is it right here.
We take a bus, I guess.
No, we fly.
We fly.
We don't. We definitely take...
Out of an airport to another airport.
And we're actually in the plane, so we do know how the whole system goes.
We'd prefer to keep it relatively secret and safe.
Yeah. And, well, plus they don't want to, the team doesn't want to know where they're going to be, because then they have to go through the fans and everything. And
this week, I don't know where we're going to be, because I've never been to Minnesota.
I got
to
be honest.
Gary, you ever been?
I never know where we're going to be.
Are you coming? How come? Oh, wait, that's because you don't
do
anything.
We're getting back at like 5 in the morning, yeah. And Patriots Monday starts at 8.
Yeah, why would anybody want to go on this trip? Is this a big marketing trip, Gary?
I'm not sure. I think there are some people going, but not a lot.
I can't imagine people wanting to go. And
is there a limit
on... It's a Monday night thing, though. That's the...
Oh.
Is there a limit on trips for marketing purposes? How many clients you guys bring? Do you have, like, a set ceiling?
I'm not sure.
Well, what's the chances I have a roommate?
Not sure.
A marketing roommate or like
no,
Andy?
No, like there's so many people that come that I have to have a roommate.
Did you have one in Buffalo?
No.
Then I think you'll be all set.
Okay. All right.
Are we going to have one again in Miami?
Oh, yeah. You got to... Well, I won't, but I'm sure...
You won't, because you're just the new guy. Why would you have a roommate?
This is my fifth game, you know.
The best ever was Shane and Deuter, though.
Let's not mention Deuter anymore.
Well, as you can see, we're out of email.
The Dude Man.
Sorry,
Dave
Fred.
Dudek.
I went through them too quickly. That would be getting a tongue lashing from Fred. And Fred would say, well, why don't you give out the email address more often, which is webradio@patriots.com. Or Jamie in Houston could call us at 508-543-7482 and kill about 10 minutes of our day.
Or Craig could call it. He'd go back to work. I haven't heard from Craig in a while.
Andy, you're full of crap.
He was a regular for like a week there.
Yeah,
he must be back in work.
And I thought Jen was back.
Yeah, she was. And then I said that Michael Hart and Chad Henne and Lloyd Carr all stunk.
Yeah, see, like I'm why you got to be mean? He's a good college football player.
No, Michael Hart is a good college football player. I agree
stink?
With that. No, I just...
There's plenty of bad college football players out there.
No, he runs hard, but he runs with his head down, which is weird. I don't get that part of his running style, why he runs with his head down.
So you're telling me I'm never going to be buying a Michael Hart jersey?
I think he'll
be in the pros.
Probably not. I might be wrong, but if you run with your head down in the pros, you usually don't get very far.
Especially, isn't he like little?
Yeah, he's like 205.
Dan,
he's a tough runner for 205. So he will play in the pros, but he won't be as good probably as projected. So if Jen wants to chime in with her feelings on that. Now, Chad Henne, he might as well not even go to the airport because he's got no chance of making an NFL team. He stinks.
Rohan Abey is even worse.
That's true. behind us, we have the fat tuna talking on TV, probably about how this is a one-week thing. Don't ask me again until next week. I can't coach without Bill Belichick. My record's 27-27 in Dallas, which means I win 8 games a year. Probably,
it's one of my homeboys.
Probably stuff like that. So what's on your mind, Andy? NFL, what's going on? That's it? That's all you got for us?
I did have something I really wanted to discuss earlier, and now I can't think of it.
Let's talk about that tag thing.
Butter or margarine? Margarine.
What do you think about that tag thing, not being able to play tag?
Elementary. Tree at the end.
I've said it wrong my whole life, so it's like I think I say Illinois wrong, too, because I say Illinois instead of Illinois.
Yeah, I don't think the S is silent.
Well...
Of course, if we're going to list the words you say wrong, we're going to be here a while.
I don't say the F word wrong, and that's the one I use the most off the air, so I'm okay.
I don't agree with the tag thing. I don't know where
it's actually pronounced.
I don't know where the line ends. I mean, at some point...
When does it end? I mean, My fiance and I were walking around the track. Now, just for you people that don't know, the Attleboro school system outlawed tag. And instead, to give kids something to do physically, they've formed walking groups. This is what they're doing. Now, my fiance and I are walking around the track last night talking about it, and I said,
who is a teacher, by the way.
Yeah, who's okay. A teacher. And I'm 33 years old, and I said, most people my age and older, they find this boring. We happen to like it, but most people find this boring. You want an 8-year-old kid to walk around a track with it? They don't have an attention span. They get bored. You got to let them run around.
And what's the big problem? That's what I don't understand.
It's getting too violent, too physical.
All I know is when I was in elementary school, at recess, we played a game of football, with a football, called Smear the Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
Fred, we all did.
And basically, it was football, but it was one on everyone.
Right, one on everyone.
Out.
Nobody ever got seriously injured.
Kill the man with the ball.
Nobody ever got seriously injured. No one died. No one, you know, a lot of those kids went on to be very smart people who went on to Harvard and Princeton and good colleges. And so what's wrong with it? What's the problem?
Let me tell you what happened to me in elementary school.
You went to tree school?
When I was probably in third grade at the time. I was never a wise guy, so I don't really know why this happened. But these kids, they were giving me a head start, and they'd let me run like 5 feet. Then they'd jump on me and start punching me all over the place. And they did this all recess while the teacher stood there and watched as I was crying. That's what we used to do back in the country.
Coming together while you have issues.
In upstate New York.
Yeah,
look at that douchebag.
I understand there are problems in schools and society and the guns and Columbine and all that stuff, but are we trying to, like, tie it in at an early age to tag or something?
I don't understand it. And then I love this. Yesterday a report comes out, college students overweight. Study shows college students overweight. You needed a study for that?
Right.
I got two eyes that could have told you that. I mean, the kids are... elementary kids are fat. Everybody's
everybody.
Fat.
I was going to say the population in the United States is overweight.
Right. You need a study for that. It's
look at Paul.
Everyone's on their computer.
Right.
Now you got 8-year-old kids. You don't want them to run
right
around.
Now they're not allowed to run and chase each other.
My fiance said if you don't let kids that age run, you can't even teach them.
Right. How are you going to control
them? Because in class, they're just they need recess. It's a valuable part of teaching to get their energy out throughout
right.
the day.
And they're not going to walk in a straight line around a track for 4 hours or whatever the hell they want them to do. It's stupid.
Now,
I can see the argument for, like, dodgeball, I guess, because it's physical some degree, but I don't get tag. It's just tag.
It's just tag.
Is it something to do with, like, sexual, like, groping?
Andy, you know what the problem is? If my fiance has a kid in her class that is very violent, the state laws now in this liberal state that you people have grown up in, you can't, like... Kids can't be taken out of classes anymore.
Right.
And this is the funny thing. This is why that guy who talked to us at the sensitivity training has so much money. If you try to take that kid out of school, their family sues. But now this kid's beating up all the other kids.
Right.
So now they're worried about a lawsuit from the other side.
Right.
So no matter which way you go, the school's getting sued by somebody. And you can't do anything about it. So you have a kid like that in your class who's probably playing tag. And instead of tagging people, he's throwing them into walls. But you can't get them out of your class.
But it's kind of the same way I feel about football. If the kid's throwing kids into the walls, you don't take the game away. You take the kid away.
Right. Because
he's the idiot. Everybody else is playing tag.
And you can't do that.
You know,
kids can't leave classes anymore. It's not like the old days where they used to just grab you by the head and, you know, take you down to the principal's office.
It's the way it should be.
I think a lot of things, you know. I think kids should get a good butt-whooping every once in a while.
I
used to get butt-whoopings, and look how I turned out. I'm fine.
I only had a couple, but that's because it only takes a couple.
Yeah, you know, I had a few, and there's only like 30, 40 people I want to kill. We got a bill.
Man,
and
I'm glad I called that guy.
Oh, I got a list. If I ever take myself out, there's a few people going before me. I can tell you that much. Bill and William.
Next time you could have the center seat, Tom.
Actually, it wasn't you, Gary. It was Bilo with that stupid little smile he gave to me doing nothing. Why does that guy even go on trips? He doesn't do anything.
Make sure you tell your friends you heard it on PVN.
Bill in Williamsburg, Virginia. Thanks for the info and the laughs. Been listening for 4 years after hearing about you guys through PFW. Keep it up. So that just Bill telling us.
Thank God you gave up that email address.
WebRadioPatriots.com. See, they're flying in now. WebRadioPatriots.com.
Okay, we got a Matt from Norwich, England. Thought I'd help you fill up your show by asking a couple of questions. I've been listening to your complaints about the offensive line, but in my opinion, this is the start of another top Patriots O-line. O'Callaghan, Kazier, and Mankins should be permanent fixtures for the next 5 years or more. Right now, these guys are still adjusting, maybe with the exception of Mankins, and are still learning the Patriot system. By next year, I would hope that they will have learned everything and will be ready to dominate opponents. Thanks. Matt in Norwich, England.
That's basically what we've been saying. We haven't complained a lot about the offensive line. We've complained about some inconsistency, but we've definitely stated that they could be building something special with the youth. Mm-hmm. They're all under contract now through 2009, I think it is. They're going to be there. This is your group, but at some point they got to do it. You know, it's how long do you say, oh, they're good, young, they're building. I understand O'Callaghan. He's separate.
Right.
But left of him, they've now been playing together for a full year, basically, full year plus. I want to see them start to build some consistency there. You know, this team has succeeded with lesser lines. That's my point. Now I think they are talented, are young, and should be better. You hold them to a higher standard. I didn't necessarily think that Brandon Gorin, Tom Ashworth, Russ Hochstein, and Grant Williams were going to turn into a dominating offensive line. But this group, you've invested draft picks, you've invested money. Now you need to see some payoff.
Why can't I be the director?
And you're right. I mean, they've been inconsistent. Some games they've struggled against the pass rush. Some games they've struggled in run blocking. So while it's nice to say, hey, this is a dominant offensive line, so far in a couple of games, yes, a couple of games, no.
And that's where I get back to my point about, okay, so maybe they have a weakness. Maybe these speed-based fronts give them problems. Well, then when you don't play the speed-based fronts, I want to see domination. I want to see a high level of play. This is a good week for them to prove that.
Right. We got a Jeremy in a Newmarket, New Hampshire. He said, hey, guys, great topic. This is no tag in school. Great topic. That's the name of the email. The experts are outlawing tag because they don't want kids to feel awful when they can't tag anyone.
Basically, I was as fat as anyone, and you just got to deal with it.
I was fat, too. Then I got diabetes, thank God, and that shed those pounds right off. Basically,
now I got to check my blood every 3 minutes.
Oh, and by the way, those of you looking for Wednesdays with Grogan, we had a little diabetes issue during that, and I started rambling and not quite sure what I said. So that might not be the best Wednesday with Grogan that you've ever heard.
What the hell happened?
Every now and then it'll just drop, like, in a second. And that's probably the first time it's happened since I've been here, and I can't, like...
Is it like that when you just yell out swears and stuff?
No, I don't start swearing. I can't form, like, thoughts. So a lot of mine are, did you,
Tourette's, Andy.
Fred.
Oh, yeah, Tourette's. That's what I was talking about.
Fred, hasn't paid you yet. Email. Stuff like that. Who knows?
I gotta watch this one.
He said, basically, it's the, you can't let any kids feel bad about themselves. We must protect them from their physical ineptitude. He's right, you know, like, they don't keep score. Is a whole other issue you don't want to get me on. Kids should be taught to lose because there's winners and losers in this world, and some people have to be the losers. I'm sorry, I'm a winner. Some people have to play the role of losers, and you know.
Oh my God, I'm the winner.
And you know, you just, not everybody can have those cheap little little league trophies up on their mantle like me.
Yeah, I just don't see the harm in it. I really don't. I mean, how many kids have been ruined by losing a game of tag?
But you know what? Someone told me one of the presidents at my college said that his son was playing T-ball, and they kept scoring all these runs. And at the end of the game, they told him it was a tie, and he kept asking after every game, "How come we're always tying? We're scoring, you know." So they were actually confused.
Right.
They don't understand why aren't we winning because we're scoring all these runs. So that's how stupid that is. Jeremy goes on to say.
Oh, wait. One quick, this kind of ties into the 2.5 Men we were talking about earlier, when the kid goes, you said they were laughing with me.
Yeah.
You watch
that was
show,
a good
Gary?
One.
Why not? It's a
he
good show.
He hasn't got time, like Fred.
Yeah, he's so busy.
He doesn't got time.
When is it on?
Mondays, 9 o'clock.
Mondays, 9 o'clock. Or whenever you tape it and watch it.
Yeah, I watched that, too.
That's why I watched it last night. It's Tuesday.
I watched it, too, last night, see? It's called DVR. I don't know if you've heard of it.
You might want to. I have one.
Nice new invention.
Might want to break into the 21st century.
Tough game ahead. It should be tight. I'm excited to see our old tight end friend, Mr. Wiggins. Hopefully he has a lousy game. That's Jeremy from New Hampshire.
All right, Jeremy.
He's going to catch some passes because that's what he does.
Yeah, you can't stop. You know, you can't stop Jermaine.
He'll never carry a team or be an offensive like powerhouse for any team, but he gets his catches.
Yeah,
you know, and they try to get him the ball. You know, he's a part of that offense, and he's going to get his. I think he's had 140 over the last 2 years, and you know has a good start to this season. So he'll get his catches, but I don't think he's going to beat you.
Okay, this is Mike talking about the China Bowl. Hi, guys. I'm a lifelong Patriots fan, and my wife is the first member of her family born in the U.S. Her mother escaped the communists in China. Do you know how we could get tickets to vacation out to the game so we can visit her homeland?
Well,
first of all, Mike, I'd like to say that I'm very proud that you married an Asian woman. I love Asian women. Unfortunately, I've never had the...
Check that one off.
No, never had the chance, and I guess I'm not going to be able to, you know, because I decided to get married. What a great choice that was. I don't know how you get tickets, but you could have mine. How about that? Because I'm not going. Fred, if you're listening, that's the way
it is. Who's the only one here who knows the illegal ninja moves from the government?
I actually asked Fred about that. There was an Ask PFW, and his response was they haven't really been told yet, they being the Patriots,
yeah,
you know, what the allotment's going to be and, you know, it's a communist country, so I'm sure the country will be telling the NFL how many
right.
they get, and then the NFL will be telling the Patriots how many they get, so it'll be pretty watered down by the time it gets down to the average Joe.
Yeah, no, I can't wait to go to the communist country. Okay. Yeah.
I can't believe she's going back. Couldn't they, like, try to keep her?
Keep in mind, communist country. Patrick, just started listening to the show. You guys sound like you need something to talk about today. Being a cheap college student in Duluth, Minnesota, I just got the worst tickets in the house for the Monday night game. How cheap are they? It will probably cost me more to park than it cost me for the tickets. Anyways, it seems like the game has two sides with good running games. Who do you think will run for more yards, the Patriots or the Vikings?
Vikings.
I'll go.
I don't know why I'm saying that. I think they both have decent running games, not great.
I think the Patriots are going to throw the ball a lot more with the short passes.
And yeah, I think they are probably going to throw the ball around a little bit, and I think Taylor will get his yards at some point.
He says, please talk about how Dante Culpepper sucks. Everyone in Minnesota hates him and was glad he left. Thanks, guys. Great show. Well, he sucks.
He certainly does suck.
So
pre-injury last year, he sucked, and this year, post-injury, he sucks. But boy, was he good a couple years ago.
Well, as people will tell you around here, it's what have you done for me lately. They
true.
Were mad at Brady 2 weeks ago. So
Brady was good a couple years ago, too, but not anymore.
Jeremy comes back in from New Market, New Hampshire. Tom and Andy, you're both exactly right. Schools are trying to create a society of wimpy people who have no self-worth. Okay, enough of that. Back to football talk.
And I just want to remind everyone, a new
Fred's probably all for the wussification of our Massachusetts students.
Not Fred. If Fred does not like that kind of stuff.
I had to change my panties.
We were talking about it yesterday on the way to this show. And by the way, anyone see that awful TV show we're on?
Hey.
I saw that. I didn't see Two and a Half Men.
How was it?
Although Chris Collins and you and...
The what?
It could be Two and a Half Men. It was good.
Is he the half man?
Yes.
Well, it was kind of like the Andy Hart, Chris Collins show there for a while. They were going back.
Why, did I talk a lot?
Yeah, you had one of your...
Whoa, one of my what?
You were the center of attention.
Well, I always am. Because I played tag as a kid.
Paul, a little quiet in that show. I think
he's just trying to prove a point.
I think Paul is, he's got so many other things that he does. He's throwing us a bone.
He doesn't want to waste his A material on us.
You guys take this one. You know, I got bigger fish to fry than this. But
what'd you really think, Gary?
I think it's good. I think it's
critique.
I'm biased, though, because I see you guys every day.
So you'd think you'd be sick of us. So if we're entertaining you, then we got to be pretty good.
What do you
good.
Think of the set? Don't you think it's a little weird all us?
It's a little cramped.
Yeah, a little cramped. That's my problem with the show.
I was uncomfortably rubbing legs with Chris Collins.
God knows it's not the information. I mean, we give the best information in the business. I'm just saying, sitting there all cramped together, we got to do something about that.
He's the smallest of the guys.
Say we kick Paul and Fred off the show. It won't be so cramped.
We need something like in the lounge chair area, you know, like something comfortable, something along those lines.
Yeah. I was at the meeting when the producer suggested, yeah, we'll buy a couple more chairs and do the lounge thing. They laughed at it.
That's at New England Cable News, ladies and gentlemen. All right, where's John Rook?
John Rook's about to come in and join us for the crossover. Because Tom Casale did not pace himself well today and ran out of emails early.
And forgot to give the email address.
He didn't give the email address out till an hour 20 into the show.
Texas big this week, John. Big. Easy win in Lubbock, I say. Easy win. Run the ball right down their throats.
Well, from, your mouth to God's ears, I suppose, right?
Yeah, that's an easy win. Big.
Texas Tech scares me a little bit, as long as we're going to talk about it, only because, number one, they get thrashed at Colorado. 30-6. Can only score 6 points on that team. And then they go out and they put up, 49 on Iowa State. Which team's going to show up?
Iowa State has arguably the worst passing defense 59. In the nation. I mean, they're terrible against the pass. I just think if you look at Texas Tech's games from the start of the year before the Iowa State game, they don't have the offense they usually have down there.
That's very true. I mean, the kid, Graham Harrell, who's their quarterback, I mean, is the latest in a long line of gunslingers there, but he's just a sophomore.
Right.
So, I mean,
they usually had like seniors that have been waiting for a while.
Yeah, fifth year seniors.
Yeah.
A lot of fifth year guys that have been in the program for 3 or 4 years, under Mike Leach. So, my guess is in another year or two, he'll probably be pretty good.
Right. They're probably a year away.
Yeah, you're probably right. So, maybe they'll. This is the, let's see, Mack Brown has only lost, I believe, 7 road games in his tenure in 9 years at Texas. And this is where he's lost 2 of them.
Right. But, not Saturday.
No,
too much,
not.
Too much running game, probably too not. Much defense from the
Let me ask you this. I got an interesting email, Tom, from, an unbelievable stat head, and I don't know how the hell they figured this stuff out, but it was what Texas had to do to make the BCS championship game.
Okay.
Because they're currently 7th in the BCS standings. I mean, and it's the most convoluted piece of garbage I think I've ever seen in my entire life. But it actually, when you look at it and try to simplify it down, it looks doable. It just takes a hell of a lot of things happening.
Right.
You think it's just off the top of your head, something like that even possible?
I think so. I mean, I think USC could lose.
USC could lose twice.
Yeah, I think that's a distinct possibility. Now, does Notre Dame have to lose again?
Right now, Texas is ahead of them in the BCS.
Like
so it just depends, though, because if Notre Dame is one of those two USC losses, then they can make it troubling.
No, I think it's going to be
from
tough,
a Texas perspective.
But I think they could get up.
Isn't
there.
Everything?
Because
yeah.
I just don't think the teams are that good. Obviously Michigan and Ohio State are going to.
Well, somebody's going to knock the other out. I think what Texas has to hope for is that Ohio State goes ahead and just wins on out and knocks Michigan out.
Right, they do.
I think that's the best case scenario. Auburn probably has to lose one more. Florida may have to lose one more, which is likely. At least one of them is certainly likely because you've got the SEC championship
game.
Right,
they just need one of those teams.
And one of those teams may not even make the SEC championship. Arkansas is still leading the way in the West Division. So, I don't know. It's probably unlikely. I would like to see
it could happen.
Yeah, it's possible. They did lose early enough in the season, and I do believe it's a different Texas team than the one that lost.
And they did lose to the best team in the country.
True.
So
true. Big 12 strength though isn't helping them.
No,
it's
not at all.
It's really interesting. No. Hey, we never get a chance to talk college football.
Because it's Patriots.com.
Well, but you know what? That's too bad. Besides, Tom started it.
Well, and I was just saying upstairs, now that we have to play 2 regular season games a year outside the United States, it's time that I start moving on and get my college football.
So where are we going to play, by the way? Where are we going to go?
We're hoping we won't be.
We're not going anywhere this year.
We're already playing in China.
Yes, I knew that.
What, are they going to make us play somewhere else, too?
Well, I was about to say, now with all these new international games, where are we going
to
go?
They just happen to come from Mexico.
Mexico.
It's not fair for Paul and Andy. They have to do everything on 2 trips because I'm not going to China. So
I think Toronto may be a likely location. I think Mexico City would be a likely location.
Well, I'm not going to Mexico.
Canada. It's not near as
bad
as
I
think
it is.
You
know I don't speak Spanish.
That's not what I've heard from everybody else.
I heard
it's awful.
Drink the water down there.
No, you don't want to drink the water.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, go on down. Just can't take a drink.
Machine guns everywhere.
I grew up in there in my summers as a kid. So
you summered in Mexico City?
That was a long time ago,
John. In Mexico.
A long, long time ago.
Does everybody around here have like this weird background story? He summered in Mexico. Fred used to live in Cancun or something.
I got a couple for
you. I have relatives that live on the border. So that's
how you snuck across the border?
All the time as a kid.
So you've mingled with some Mexican ladies, huh? I don't see a denial there. You were sneaking across the border for a couple things, drinking and girls.
Here you go. Wait a second. Wait a second. Next question.
That's what I thought. Interesting.
I will say this, though. One of my favorite little places, last I checked, which is about 2 years ago, still exists in downtown Juarez, Mexico, which is called a mariachi bar. 10-cent tequila shots. You get snockered for a buck. It's unbelievable.
Buck. I wouldn't make it to a buck. 80, 50 cents.
You'd have change left over.
Yeah. Hey, you had 2 days out of a buck.
Woo! Yeah!
What was her name?
What was their names?
Oh, her
name. Her name?
Big Wood.
Give me one of them.
At the time?
Your wife's not listening.
Dan Clayton.
No, this much is true.
Does she know about this?
Of course. She knows everything.
Really?
Yeah.
See, it's the truth. The truth will set you free. As long as they know everything, they can never catch you on
anything. That's absolutely. My wife Andy has been great because she said, "I don't care who you, what you did." Ooh, that was almost
boy.
A big
are we
slip.
Dragging John Rook down?
Oh my, you really taking me down a notch. I don't care what you did before I met you.
So she knows about the trips to Mexico, the steroids, the drinking.
Jonathan. Steroids? What do you say? Do I look like I've done steroids?
No, you're a smart guy. You brought them back and we're selling them.
Jonathan, if you can believe this one, my fiance knows everything about me and she still wants to marry me.
I don't think she knows everything.
Wow.
That's what I'm going with.
She knows everything.
Wow. Now, see, that's impressive. But you know what, Tom? That's true love because my wife did the same thing.
I'm stunned. Yeah.
Of course, now I've been married to my wife for 13 years. She's like ready to trade me in on the new model. So.
Well, it did take me 33 years to find someone stupid enough to buy my bullcrap.
By the way, what's the name of the group that plays this song, Gary? Because I haven't heard this song in
Wall
like...
of Voodoo.
Wall of Voodoo. Mexican radio?
Yeah.
It's a good song. Good
all
tune.
Right, with Andy
good,
has
good
no
song
idea
to go
what
out
we're
on.
Talking about, but you know his wife, she's not living in no fantasy land either. She's got a tough job too. And on that note, we'll Andy and I will go upstairs and pretend to work while Fred's watching, and John Rook can take the show over.